Welcome into the Camastrick Podcast, episode number 156, presented by Hair Club, baby.
Oh, gosh. Man, oh, man. Put smiles on a lot of men and women, Andy. I'll tell you that right now. And you know what? I was thinking this. Like, for men, it's tough, man. You're looking in the mirror and you see your hair coming out. You're like, oh, God. It's such a demoral. Like, it's just demoralizing, right? You know, your confidence is down. Like, you're like, fuck. And when you go to a bar or something, you're trying to talk to a girl. And you're like, oh, God, is she looking at my bald spot? Oh, God, should I put – it's tough, man. I know it sounds somewhat petty, but it's really, really not. And I'll tell you this. For women, it's even more hardcore. Like, when women lose their hair, man, it's really tough on them. It's really tough on them. Men can get away with it. You can shave your head. But women's like, damn. So, look, they have so many different options for you guys. I've been through it myself. I might have to get something else going on with the bald spot in the back of my head. Andy likes to remind me that I have a big bald spot back there. And that's tough. Andy, I don't like that. I don't like when you make fun of me like that, but it hurts. It hurts me. So I get y'all. You losing your hair out there, I understand it. I'm telling you, Hair Club for Men, they got so many different options, Andy, and they got a lot of places all over the United States.
All over North America.
And you might need it in a couple of years, too. Who the fuck you kid? Okay.
Hey, you 1,200 locations.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, listen, I'm not even worried about it. I sleep fine at night knowing Hair Club is there, man. Like, Hair Club, like... lets me know that if you get in a little bit of a jam, you're all good. And the Hair Club's there to help you out. Hundreds of different solutions for everybody, men and women. You know, women, listen, they probably stress out about it more than men, although a lot of men really do stress out about it. This is a serious issue. I mean, people out there who have been through this, they realize, hey, listen, when it first starts to happen, I mean, a lot of different things go through your mind, man, and it's not easy getting through it. But
no.
That's where Hair Club comes in. It's kind of like having a personal trainer for your hair, and it helps you everything, like the mental anguish and the physical part of it. Cam, you talk about your the top of your head. I didn't know because you wear a hat like every single day, and then I saw a picture recently, and like the hat was off, and yeah. I just had no idea what was going on.
Tell me about it, will you? Tell me about it. Tell how bald was it? Explain it in detail. Why don't you tweet about it, Andy? It's a sensitive subject. It's sensitive. I got a beautiful face. I got a beautiful face. My teeth are kind of fucked up, but I got a beautiful face. And in the back of my head's like, no, you don't, Cam. Now you're ugly. And you know, and then you have to remind me of it. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm not Jason Statham or whatever the fuck. And it doesn't look good. Okay. So the point is, they have a lot of different locations. They have a lot of different you know, different variables that you could choose. I mean, a PRP, plasma rich. And what the fuck is it called again, Andy? PRP? Plasma rich platelets. Platelets.
Maybe, but I think platelets is in there.
Doesn't matter.
PRP. It's PRP, baby. They spin your blood and then they inject the blood from you as like your own blood, and they put it right back in the injury, man. And, right. and then it basically like gets the plasma back in there.
I've done it a ton of times. Plasma, whatever. They take the blood out, they spin this, they spin it, and then they take it and they go dink, 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 dink in the top of your head. And then afterwards, you're like, yeah, hurt a little bit, but you're like, no, my hair's growing back. That is such a damn good feeling, by the way, when your hair starts growing back and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh, Andy, if I didn't get the procedure with Hans, the front part of my head would look like the back part of my head. But at least I got my front part, and I could disguise the back a little bit. But I could always get that done. But we have options. You all have options. And the hardest part is, guys, and I'll tell you this right now, being dead serious, I goof around a lot, but I'm telling you, is walking in the place, just walking in. Everybody's like, I don't want to be embarrassed. Everybody that works there, they all understand. They probably had they had to go through the procedure too. That's why they're working there. Like, I'm telling you, it's the easiest damn thing in the world. They'll make you feel comfortable. And once you get it done, do it when it first starts happening, guys. I'm telling you, it makes it a lot easier. Do it when it first starts happening. Get on it quick. And just like an injury or whatever the case is, and they will help you. I'm telling you right now, I don't give a damn. If you're nervous going in there, you're the toughest guy in the world. That bugs you. When you lose your hair, it bugs the shit out of you. No, it doesn't matter who you are. So just walk in that place. I'm telling you, they'll explain everything to you. And we're lucky we got them as a sponsor, baby. We are. We love them.
Oh, no doubt about that. Now, would you ever consider going the toupee route? Like, had that ever come like into your thought process? Nah. Like, maybe I would do that. And like, what's your thought on that?
No, I mean, Andy, I wouldn't do it. I don't need to do that. I'll just shave my head if push comes to shove. Or I'll just get another procedure in the back of my head and everything's going to be hunky-dory. and they use your own hair. So no, I'm not. Everybody's gonna know it. I rather just shave my head, look like Stone Cold Steve Austin or something.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
You went to the dentist last week, real quick. Yeah. The dentist, did you have a chew in?
No.
When she was working on your teeth, or did you take it out? Like,
I took it out.
Explain that. Okay.
Well, I took it out, and I take care of my teeth a lot. I really do. I harm them and take care of them at the same time. It's kind of like a love hate relationship, you know. And my breath was not kicking that day. I brushed the fuck out of them. I take that Listerine everywhere I go. You see it everywhere I go in my bag. Where sometimes it spills all over my goddamn computer and shit. Doesn't matter. My teeth are clean. They cleaned them up. They're like, your smile's beautiful. Whatever kind of like modeling shoot you're going to, just make sure you have a hat on because your teeth look good.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Any cavities? No?
I mean, I got a couple here and there. Anything else you want to do? Anything else? I got a prostate exam. You want to talk about that? What's wrong with you? Good God.
Did you ever lose a tooth? No, those are your real teeth?
Yep,
you never lost a tooth?
Nope, never. They got kind of a little wiggly here and there, but no, I thought I did. I thought I did, but... you know, being a cowboy that I am, you know, I almost lost my tooth fucking wrangling up cows and putting them in this little like funnel. And then they had to get like injections, you know, for I guess pink eye is a big deal with cows. Hmm. It's like it fucks you up or something. And they had to get vaccinations. Dr. Fauci's like, we got to get them cows vaccinated. No, I'm just joking. They got to get vaccinations for something or something. So my cowboy buddy, who's a Marine, owns all this land in middle Missouri, beautiful middle Missouri, middle of the United States, all y'all folk from not in the United States, right in the middle of the United States. And we went out there and just had to just get 40 cows we had to put in, and they all had to get vaccinated, and they just let them out in this pasture. It was horrifying, dude. They are beautiful creatures. Wow. They have lovely meat that you probably don't like that much, but they got awesome meat. You know, cows have good meat, you know? But seeing them, they're like, oh, cute little cuddly cow. Uh-uh. When they get scared, they are huge and strong and trying to get these cows in a certain area because they're like clicky, right? They don't want to separate from each other. So you got to separate them, and they fucking bump into you, and you're like, bam, Andy, you would have got trampled so fucking fast, your head would have spun. You're not allowed. You ain't no cowboy, homie.
Well, I am. I've been known to be a cowboy.
No, you're not.
I've got some cowboy in
me. You can't steal everything. You can't do everything I do. You're not a cowboy, damn it. Find your own hobby.
Be surprised.
Find your own hobby.
Hey, is that a new hobby for you now?
It is. I'm a Wrangler, okay? I had jeans on and everything. I look like a jackass. All my buddies, it's so funny, like Terry Aiken, like some of my, like all the Canadian folk up there, like, you know, Stevie McIntyre and all those guys, John Morasty, they're all like legit cowboys. And they probably saw that and they're like, oh my God, you are a fucking goofball. So I look, if you see me doing that, I'm still a rookie at it, but I did get my cowboy license and they like branded me or something yesterday, man. So I'm a legit cowboy and you're not. So don't act like you are.
When it's like rolling around, like, how do you feel? Like, hey, you know, does it make you want to have a steak or like a burger? Like, I mean, how do you feel about that?
Andy, I'm looking at these cows and I'm like, that fat ass, like, God damn, like you, I got hungry. I was working my ass off and I'm looking at these cows. Like, if I had push comes to shove and I didn't have any weapons on me, can I take this cow and kill it with my bare hands and cook that damn thing? I don't know. I think I could. You'd have to like break their legs or something first and maybe like choke them out or something and then cut them open. If push came to shove, I think I'd be able to do it. There's a lot of meat on them bones, baby. And actually that night I came home and cooked a fat ass steak, dude. I should have filmed it and sent it to you. You probably would have puked, though.
I don't know, man. After looking at those cows, like, it didn't make me hungry. I saw those cows. You were like, you look like a rodeo clown. I'm not going to lie. You had a little orange flag. I don't know what you're doing with your little
orange
flag.
That was a cute chirp.
Okay.
It's getting your goddamn attention. Now, I know you looked at the grass, and you're like, oh, that grass looks fucking good. I look at the cows, and I'm like, that cow looks good. Mm. You know? We're different. Okay? You can go graze with the cows.
I had a great weekend though, man. The weather finally got nice, man. I was so sick of the rain. It actually feels like fall for the first time. My boy Norm came by and delivered the wood. I delivered lots of wood. I got a lot of wood now, Cam, for the entire fall and winter for fire season. So if you want to come over and hang out, hey, if you're coming over for Halloween or whatever, I'm going to have lots of fires going.
I'm not coming over for Halloween. I told you I got my own fires going out here, homie. But I like that you got wood. Like if I'm judging you for with everything, like you moved up a little notch with wood. I mean, I guess that's kind of cool. You put wood on fire. I like fires, so that makes you kind of cool. I'm glad that you told everybody you got wood. I don't think anybody gives a fuck, to be honest with you. And you know you didn't chop it yourself, so what's cool about it?
Well, you never know. I may have. I got a guy across the street. I told you he aced the ACT 100%. And he didn't get one wrong. Aced it.
And he's still in your neighborhood?
Kid. And no, listen, he's out there chopping wood, and he gave me a bunch of wood, and he even handed me the chainsaw. And we did a little chainsaw, a little axe work, and
no, you didn't.
Chopped some wood. Yes, we did.
Show it. Show me. Prove it. Put it on Instagram. I proved that I was a cowboy. You didn't prove that you're a fucking chainsaw motherfucker. Okay? You're not. You can't even hold a chainsaw. Chainsaws are scary.
Oh, they're so scary, dude.
They are horrifying.
Scary. Very scary. Okay, scary. So I took my kids for Halloween costumes this past weekend to the Halloween store. Cam, we went to like four or five different stores. They couldn't make up their mind. They couldn't decide what they want. Then they find something that they like, and it didn't come in their size. I need to just like create your own Halloween costume at home. Like you just figure out what you want, and you just like make it at home, whatever. Now they got to have some fancy-ass costume, and they can't make a decision, dude. I was about to go absolutely crazy.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. And don't get me wrong. I think I wore the same Halloween costume like 5 years in a row. And finally people are like, okay, Cam, we know that you're a biker. It was right when remember that show with what's that show called? Damn. You probably didn't watch it because it was too masculine, but it was a biker show. The lead guy's name was Chips. Jax.
Chips?
No. No. Lead guy's name was Jax. He had long, cool hair, man. It's like, look like a fucking hockey player, man. Hey, just cool shit. And I dressed like him for like 5 years in a row. And you just don't do that, by the way. You just don't. What was I last year? No, I usually now I don't dress up for bullshit. Mm-hmm. I am the guy that hands out the candy. That's what I do, Andy. I want the kids to come to my house. But if you're fucking 17 years old, I'm going to do a little trick on you. I'm going to act like I'm going to give you fucking candy, but I'm really going to take your candy because you don't deserve it. You're 17. Go talk to girls. Don't come to my house when you're 17 years old. Don't do it because I'm going to take your candy.
I'm with you there. I got a rule for Halloween costumes, actually. Like, if I don't know what you are, you shouldn't be dressed up as. Like, people make up the Halloween costume name. Like, they're like, I am a princess skeleton warrior scorcier.
That's sexy, like, though.
It's like, what? Like, you can't do that. Like, I got to know who it is. Right off the bat, if I don't know who it is, man, it shouldn't work. And I'm not into like the scary, scary, scary stuff, Cam. Anything that requires like face paint, you know, and I'm not into it.
I don't do it. Andy, I don't do it. I don't do it. And here's why. If I put face paint, Sons of Anarchy, by the way, if I put face paint on, I'm going to break out. I'm going to have fat heaters over my forehead. And I can't do that, Andy. I cannot do that. Heaters. Weird teeth and a bald spot. It ain't good combination. So I don't do that. I don't put maybe makeup here and there to hide stuff, but I don't put face paint on because I'll break out. I need to look good for the brand.
I don't have a sponsor for that.
I know.
No sponsor for that.
I know. Not yet.
We may need one for one of those.
I don't look. I want kids to get creative. I do. And the young, I'd like to sit in my driveway. I got my fire going, man. Kate and I, we got a bunch of cool stuff going on. We got music. We got fog going. You know, we got all our decorations up. We hand out expensive ass candy unless I eat it all. I don't like to hand out my sweet tarts because that's mine. Halloween candy is expensive as fuck, by the way. And I ain't cheap, but it's expensive. But if I eat all of it, then I got to buy more and I shouldn't do that. And then my teeth get even more fucked up. But I love Halloween. I chill. The kiddos come. I hand out everything. But again, if you're fucking old, you're 17, even 16, right? Actually, even 15. I'm backtracking. Even 15, you don't need to be doing that. You're going to high school. You're in high school. You go to parties then, right? You don't trick or treat. Middle school, yeah, you're getting a little late. I remember not even doing it in middle school, but that's like elementary stuff, that guys. Like, that's what you do. And if you're dressed up and it's kind of creative and you thought of your own thing and maybe it didn't work out to Andy, still give the kid candy, please. That's effort. They're putting effort into it. But if you put a fucking sheet over your head and you cut holes in your eyes, like, you're getting candy corn.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
The
What's
worst.
Your take on adults dressing up? Like the husband-wife combo?
Oh, that's cool. Look, like man, that. If you and your girl have fun doing shit, then go have fun doing shit, dude. I don't give a fuck what it is. You dress up. Like, I want my girl to dress up. She's going to look sexy as shit. I mean, how easy is for girls to dress up on Halloween? Just put on something skimpy and fawn around a little bit. And everybody's like, wow, that's a great costume. No, I just look sexy. Oh, whatever. Still good.
Well, the wife and I are dressing up this year. And I haven't decided what I'm going to be yet, you know, but she's got like a kind of like a sexy ghost outfit going on. Like, it's very sexy, like the sexiest ghost that you're ever going to see, actually. It's very nice. And I haven't decided what I'm going to go with to kind of team up with her for this Halloween costume, you know? So if you have any
princess like last year,
throw them my way.
Wear the same outfit you did last year.
Well, I didn't wear that last year.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
No.
So a sexy ghost, like, what's she going to do? Like, put a, like, what? Like, what? How are you, how are you a ghost and that's sexy?
It's a
how about you just be a sexy person?
No, she bought the costume. It's like, it's an actual costume.
She bought it.
Oh yeah.
And is it like a, like what is it? A sheet?
I took the whole family for Halloween costumes. Everyone got costumes except me. Okay. Ty, by the way, is going to be Spider-Man. It's like a very muscular Spider-Man. That's what he picked
out. Oh
yeah.
He's going to be looking jacked.
Cool. I'm down with it. Actually, I wasn't like I'm not like a big like superhero like costume. But you know what? I'm like, yeah, you can be Spider-Man, dude. And he's all jacked. It's a very cool costume. So Ivy is a rock star, by the way.
Aw, that's cute. And she was a I saw she cheerleaded for a football game.
Yes, she did.
How was that? Was she nerve wracked a little bit?
No, I think she was all good.
Yeah,
it was a little rainy out there. But you know, it was fun. It was fun. She enjoyed it.
Hey man, when you go by Halloween, they always have the same smell when you walk into those fucking. I hate the smell. Right? You notice that? No.
Okay, here's what I notice. There's a certain type of person that works at a Halloween store.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the same type of person that would work at like a record store back in the day, you know? Or you know what I'm saying? And they're there to help though. Very, very interesting. And you know what? I give them a lot of credit for hanging in there and doing that type of work. We need people like that.
Well, anybody that's working, I got to give credit to, because all these businesses now are desperate to find anybody to work. Anybody. They're bumping their prices up just to try to get anybody at these restaurants to fucking work. No one's working. These kids don't want to work. And so it's like anybody that's working, I don't give a fuck what you look like. You might be goofy looking. I don't give a shit. Andy might make fun of you, but I look at you like, good for you, dude. Good for you. There's so many businesses that are like just desperate for anybody to help, and they're just not getting it. So I'm not chirping people that work at fucking Halloween stores.
Dude,
Andy, like,
I would
don't
never
be a fucking dick.
Chirp anybody
you
who
just
works
did.
Anywhere. No, I said it's a certain type of person that works there.
I know. No,
you got to have like a certain. You got to have a certain type of like, you know, just personality to be able to handle it. I wouldn't be able to handle it. They're picking up costumes. They're moving them around. You got to constantly put them back. You have kids asking, like, I want to be this. I want to be that. Where do you? They got to have a ton of patience, man. I give them a ton of credit. Honestly, you're reading into it the wrong way. But I don't chirp anyone who's working right now either, man. It's not an easy time. And
no.
Customers are impatient. I'm not impatient with customer service right now because I understand the stress level that comes with it. I'm nice to the people. I probably tip more than I ever have in my entire life.
I do too. I tip out the wazoo, man. I have to. And I'm telling you, and we've talked about this before, but we go out to eat a fuck ton, dude. Like, you know, my buddies and I, after we were cowboys, went and ate down in Washington, Missouri on the river, like right by the river, this badass place. And it, you know, the service is just, it's not great. It's not great. I don't think I've been to a restaurant besides Top Shooters, maybe, where the honestly, it's just the service isn't good. It's not good at all anywhere. And I still tip them out, man, because you just know that they're fucking busting their ass. And they're young kids and they're trying to make a living, man. They're trying to gain some little bit of money and figuring out the ways. And you gotta help them out, dude. And God, there's so many ignorant people too, by the way. Just fucking loud and mean.
Yes.
Oh, I hate it. Yes. Like, oh, like me, I ask for this. And I'm like, look, I'm high maintenance when I go places because I want like two beers at a time. If I get a Bloody Mary, I want my Stella too. Like, I just want things quick. I don't ever want not to have a drink in front of me. So I'm like, oh, hey, excuse me, can I just get, you know, I'll do, but some people are fucking assholes, man. And I just, sometimes I can't help myself, but give them a little look, like, settle the fuck down, old man.
Ooh,
this poor little girl.
Hold on.
I'm just saying.
You order two drinks at a time.
That's true. Because if it's busy, Andy, I don't want to sit there and not have a drink in my hand. I just got done wrangling cattle, homie.
Hey, you didn't do much.
I didn't do that.
You didn't do much.
Actually, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I almost got bulldozed 15 times by these damn cows.
You look like a rodeo clown, but it's all good. Hey, I want to give a shout out real quick. There's a company called The Normal Brand. You can check it out, normalbrand.com. We just did a photo shoot. And that was kind of fun doing it. I kind of like doing a photo shoot. You know, it's kind of fun. Amy was the photographer. She loved me.
Yeah, girl.
Absolutely loved me. And she was great. And, you know, I don't know, it's kind of fun. So people want to check out their clothes, man. It's perfect for this time of year. That's like fall, winter clothing. Although they have summer clothes too, but it's like a family-owned business. And they ship anywhere. Anybody who's listening, Canada, USA, check it out. Normal Brand. Like, it is really, really cool stuff.
They made you look good. There's a couple good pictures of you. I found them.
Not many.
She took like 1,500. And then there's a couple good. And I see, here's what I do. Because Andy will never give me a compliment. So, like, ever. And so,
I told you, you look good in the photos.
Fuck you. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You don't ever give me a compliment. And I specifically went through the photos and picked out a couple. And I go, Andy, this looks awesome. Boom, look at you. Oh, damn, boy. And he's like, thank you. I pump you up more than ever. You never give me a compliment. You talk about my bald spot. You talk about a couple. I'm a rodeo clown, which I kind of am, but slash cowboy, which is kind of cool. But, you know, I found pictures. I'm like, you look really good in this. And then what'd you do? You take them and you post them because I made you feel good. That's what I do, Andy.
I wasn't very confident.
Now, some of these photos. Yeah. Well, when you're around me, how can you be? I mean, she's taking 50,000 pictures of me. I got a hat on, mind you. They got great hats there too. But yeah, it was cool, man. She's great too. And Normal Brand, give you a little shout out. Cool. Big hockey fans. Like, just most beautiful family ever. And ever. Good God.
Oh my God.
They're like, what? Where's the bad gene at? You know?
I know. Like, is there one of you?
Is there
like,
one of you that has a bald spot? And yeah, their hair is so perfect,
that, as you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no doubt.
Everything's perfect about them.
Yeah, they're great. So check them out, Normal Brand, and they're all over the place, man. So you'll be able to get some awesome clothes just in time for, like, you know, fall-y stuff. You know, they got the cool button up and shit. So they'll make you look sexy, even you, Andy.
They try. All right, listen. So my bookie, I hope people got into this. Again, the promo code to use is Cam Strick. It's not Cam and Strick. It's just Cam Strick, all caps. So check that out, mybookie.ag. Here's the deal. When it comes to gambling, you always want to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. And that's why I bet with my bookie. I'm getting into the gambling stuff, Cam. I told you about that. So at my bookie, you can bet on all your favorite sports, not just hockey. You can get into the NFL, college football, whatever you want. Exclusive promotions, contests. When you make your first deposit with MyBookie, you'll instantly receive double your first deposit. You know what that means, Cam, when it's double your first deposit?
Yeah, they give you double the money.
Okay, good. So use that promo code, CamStrick. Sign up, MyBookie.ag, and they're going to double your money up to $1,000. So you put in $1,000, you instantly have $2,000.
Yeah.
That's fast money. Use your extra funds to bet on this week's biggest games, including the battle between the Chiefs and the Titans. I'm all about that NFL, baby. Where airmail offense takes on smash mouth football, Cam.
Do you don't even know what that means? Do you know what smash mouth football means?
Oh, hell yeah.
What?
You know, I used to, when I was 10 years old, I played for the Bonham Blue Dogs. And when you're 10 years old, you can play like any position, okay? Any position. I'm well aware of smash mouth football.
I'm sure
you
are.
So look for the score to run up quickly. Bet the over. Head to mybookie.ag and use the promo code CamStrick. Secure your double deposit bonus today. That's promo code CamStrick so you can double your funds to double your winnings. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with my bookie.
Yeah. Hey, it's so much funner. More fun. No. So much more fun.
You say
so,
funner.
Dude, I got a 9th grade education, homie. Played hockey. It's so much more fun to be able to gamble. This, you don't have to go crazy. You don't want your wife to get pissed at you. We all understand that. But just to have a little bit of something on some of these games, it just makes it that more entertaining. Don't put yourself in a jam. Don't be pissy if you lose. But just do it safely and be, you know, be aware of what you got going and don't overdo it. But I'm telling you, just enjoying games is so much better when you got a little bit of coin down. You're texting your buddies like, what's up? I got some fucking money on this, this, that, and the other. And when you win, it's a blast. When you lose, you're not too much in the jam. So you're always even keel, baby. That's what you want.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm actually headed out to Vegas this week. I'm looking forward to it. Very short trip, very quick trip. Vegas and back. Taking the wife with me. And we're going to have a good old time, Cam, in Vegas. If you have any recommendations of what to do in Vegas when you're there for 24, 48 hours.
Try not to spend a lot of money. You're not a gambler, really. You're not going to go to slot machines or something. You probably go to penny slots and sit all day and smoke darts or something. But in Vegas, man, I don't know about it. You want me to tell you why? I go to a game. It'd be cool. You know, I like going to games, but I'm not much of a gambler. I like to – not with my bookie, though. I'm gambling a little on NFL football and stuff, but you don't need to go to Vegas to do that. Dude, in your fucking living room, kicking your feet up. But at Vegas, it's like, man, you're just paying money for fun. Like, it's all – like it's. I like to go to the beach and get my fucking cocktail, get my mind right, put on some tunes, and watch those waves come in. I don't have to pay for that. I don't have to go in. I spend so much goddamn money everywhere I go. Because I, you know, buying two drinks, whatever the case is, like I don't Vegas. I'm just spending money, and I don't know what I'm getting out of it. You know, I don't know. Especially if you're there with your wife too, it's like you're partying with your buddies. It's like, what are you gonna do? Just go eat all day, every day, and go to bed at 9? What do you do?
All right, let me ask you this. Would you rather take your wife with you or go on a guy's trip? I mean, we were talking about that. It's like, stupid ass question. I don't want to go with a bunch of guys. You just said, hey, and your wife is with you. I have fun with my wife, dude. I have fun with my wife, especially when you're in Vegas or a party atmosphere, dude. You can just cut loose. You got 24, 48 hours, whatever it is.
Where are you going to party?
Do whatever you want.
We all have – look, I will say this. Not too many people have fun with their wife. And Andy, you certainly do, and I do too. Kate and I have fun together. We go everywhere together, okay? But, like, where are you going to go? You're going to go to fucking Hackensack or whatever it's called, Hackensack, and spend $20,000? Or are you going to stand in front? Where are you going? You're going to go club it up with your wife? Like, what do you do there? You're going to gamble? All you do is eat. There's a lot to do, but, like, there's not – for me, it's like I like to go jump in a fucking ocean and do this or go ski or go hiking somewhere. I sit in Vegas and it's like walking into a place and fucking spending money.
What? Well, we are going to the game. The Blues are playing in Vegas, whatever. It's a national game, so we'll be there. So we're going to go to the game. They got a beautiful pool, rooftop pool at the hotel. We're going to chill by the pool, have some cocktails and whatever, go to a nice dinner, maybe hit a show at nighttime after the game, like late night, or do whatever we want, man. Like, we're just going to have fun. Like, listen, in and out. We got great travel arrangements for how we're getting there and how we're getting back. Dude, it's all good. Looking forward to it.
I get you. No, if you got a guy flying your private there, I get it. But I'm just saying, like, pool parties are cool.
It's not a pool party. It's just like we're hanging out.
Oh, I see. Like, I was going to say, like, you take your girl to a pool party, like, you can put your glasses on and put your head down.
It's not a pool party. We're just going to chill out.
There's fucking dimes cruising. They're like, I can't look at you, you know.
Is 1,000 miles an hour, dude, at all times, man. We got three kids going in all different directions, dude. We're just escaping for 24 hours. Like, anything goes. Yeah. You never know. Anything goes for 24 hours, dude. It's anything all good. Goes. I mean,
anything goes.
Anything
like goes. What? Like what? Anything goes. We can find another loose. Couple or something.
No, nothing like that.
Weirdo.
Nothing like that.
Oh, you will down there. You know, when you go down to Florida and those couples like, hi.
Oh, yeah.
And they look at you like, hi. You're like, hi, what's going on? Like, is this your
Damn,
wife?
That happened to me in Nashville. I told you that.
I know.
Where that couple would leave and they were eating my food and stuff.
They
like
wanted
that.
To fuck you. Dude, that's what it is. Happening. Don't do it. It's weird. In the day.
That's not happening.
No one's touching my girl. And I'm not allowed to even look at women. So it's like, it ain't happened with us. But like, okay. But like back in the day, you know, I did weird things, you know, but you go down to Florida, man, that shit happens all the fucking time. Like these couples will go up there and just stare at you and like, hi, what do you guys? Oh, we're real friendly. You're like, oh, okay. You know, and they're really tan, you know, and the wife's a lot younger and she's just staring at you and your wife. And you're like, and then the old guy's looking at you and you're like, nope. Your wife could hang out though. What?
Explain that though. Like, how? What's the mindset that you're in where you like are with your wife and you're like, we're gonna go find another couple and you're gonna pick out a dude to go be with your wife? Like,
yes, they get off on it because people get off on having their wives get fucked. People get off on that, dude.
I've never heard of that. I've never heard of this.
Because you're just, you're so aloof to so many different things in life. It, you just go fucking go talk about 117th draft pick in 04. Like, you, that's your thing. But I know all the,
who is that? Who is that?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know.
Was that you? Was that you?
No, I was 117 in 02. I should have said 02. Fuck. But the point is, I've just seen it happen. I've done it when I was young with a wife, you know, when I was a kid, you know, younger. I was just crazy. And the guy went, I'm like, okay, whatever. But now I'm like, eh. And no, that, so couples.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on.
What? What?
What happened? You're telling me.
Couples now.
You're telling me a man came as you're a young kid, teenager, and he asked you to sleep with his wife?
I was a teenager. Yeah.
And you did it.
In winter, yeah. It was very bizarre. My God. It was very bizarre.
So I'm not that naive. I know people get, I know people get into this and like that's their thing and whatever. It's not like I've never heard of it. I get it. I get it. And that's not what we're doing out in Vegas, okay?
Well, you know, you can't.
I know people who are into that type of stuff. Honestly, I know
it's a big thing. It's just not my thing. Now, it's a big thing. People like to see their wife get fucked. It's just, and they get off on it. They'll like jerk off, or they'll sit on the fucking little couch while they're on the bed, and she'll like kind of. Now, some people like to get like tortured too. Like, you look at this little, you know, like that kind of cuckolding shit. But a lot of men like to see their wife get fucked, and a lot of wives are in agreement with their husband to do that. I'm telling you, man. I actually know a lot of people that are swingers. I do. I can't do it.
No, we're not.
I can't fucking do
it. We're not doing that over here in the poor part of the dude.
Oh, you ain't getting none. Happening. You ain't getting none. You're watching. You're watching with your little fucking. You're sitting in the sofa over there just watching. Oh God, nah. Listen, I'm not into it.
I've got my neighbor whose son got 100% on the ACT, dude. 100%. He goes to Harvard, whatever. And like, they're great people and everything, but it's not happening over here in our.
I like how you brag about it, ACT. Wait. So he's a geek? Fuck's he gonna do? I don't want to hang out with a fucking smart guy like that. It's probably not fun at all.
100%. Could you imagine being that smart?
You better make money. My brain goes 100 miles an hour all day, every day. But I'm not putting math problems together. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. I'll tell you about life, but I'm not putting math problems together. I don't know. I don't want to be that smart. Usually smart people look miserable to me.
Okay, a couple things I want to get into. First off, what's catching your eye on this hockey season so far? We got to get back into mybookie.ag, baby. Use that promo code Cam and Strick, or just Cam Strick. No, Cam Strick. So you have a cup contender right now. Like, I mean, is there one that you'd say, okay, this team – is head and shoulders above everybody
fucking
else.
I guess, Ottawa, baby.
Ottawa. That's my team, dude. I always say that's my team, dude.
They're fucking beating. They beat Toronto with no Brady. How about Brady just like walking onto the scene like that? Fucking signed a big deal. He waves at the crowd like a big pimp. Fucking right, Brady. Love you, buddy. I don't know. Look, my cup contender right now, it's so unbelievably hard to even tell. Now, Colorado's going to be fucking good. I think they're plus 450 or whatever the case is. So they're the contender right now. They're missing Landeskog, and McKinnon's got COVID. Landeskog should have got two games for that. Dude, he rocked a guy when he's down. Look, we've all done that. Maybe not you, Andy, but hitters, sometimes a guy goes, they just kind of finish a check and it's bad. He needed two games. I don't mind that shit. Colorado's going to be great. Kyle McCarr the other night against the Blues, fucking unreal. But I don't know. It's going to be sneaky, man. I think an Islander team could creep away. I think Carolina. I think Florida. I think Tampa's up there. You just don't know. That's what's cool about fucking the NHL, dude. Your team could be so much different in a year over a summer. And I think there's going to be a lot of surprises this year, man. I hope some teams that have been shitty, aka Buffalo, find a way to be competitive. Just find a way to be competitive and find a way to bring in some motherfucking fans. Buffalo the other day only had 40% capacity. And their home opener, 40% capacity. Now, that could be because of Canada and not being able to come over because of COVID shit, right? Mm. But, like, I'm not playing – you know how I bullshit teams and they can't bring fans in? I hate that. Florida, you know, the same thing. I think they only had a certain amount of people there. It's, like, ridiculous. They got a loaded team, Barkov, fucking loaded, and they can't bring people in? God damn it, man.
Yeah. No, Florida's good, man. I love watching Florida. That's Sam Bennett, man. I know it didn't work out for him in Calgary and whatever.
Yep.
He was the guy at the combine who couldn't do like a pull up or something, a push up or something.
Embarrassing, just, by the way.
Couldn't do one.
It's embarrassing.
He can play hockey though. And I felt like I watched some games in Calgary. You know, I watch Calgary close. And I'm watching Calgary, and I'm like, damn, dude, this guy is so good. When he finishes checks, he gets under the skin of the other team, plays a hard game, and he can score. He had a hat trick the other night. So I love Florida, man. They got all the superstars. Barkov scores the big deal. But getting back to Brady Tkachuk real quick, man. Listen, they're putting the confidence in that owner. I'll tell you that about the Tkachuk family, the Tkachuk camp. They're putting the confidence in that owner that what he's selling, that he's going to live up to what he's saying, and he's going to spend to the cap over the course of the length of Brady's contract extension over the next 7 years. He's going to spend to the cap. They're going to go out and they're going to buy free agents, and he's going to put together a contending team. Because, listen, all this talk about bridge contract, long-term contract, that's what it came down to. I mean, does Brady Tkachuk truly trust that owner? It's not the team. It's not the city. It's not the general manager.
Yep.
And it's not even Pierre McGuire who's there now, too. People forget Pierre. You know,
Pierre McGuire's
working. I love him. Yeah, so listen, it's none of that. You trust the owner. I mean, you look at the way the owner has a track record and history of working with some other star players. Good players have left and whatever. So, listen, they weren't going to negotiate a bridge deal. He wanted to get in right now. He doesn't want to miss more games. He wants to play hockey. That's what he does. So I know they're paying him a lot of money and whatever. But, again, he's putting the faith in that owner, and I hope that owner, Eugene Melnick, who we're going to get on one day, man.
Eugene.
We're
going
to get his ass on. Hey,
you better
live up to your word, man. They're putting some faith and some trust in you.
Well, you got a fucking superstar that wants to fight and be a killer and be awesome with the fans. He's got his strut. He's got his little dancey dude that he does after he fucking – you have – a unbelievable superstar. Don't let him down, because Brady ain't going to let you down, homeboy. You got to get his ass on, by the way. Eugene needs to get on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Andy, get on that, baby. But you're right, though. You're right. You're 100% right on that. Like, you better spend in the cap. And you know what? That place should be goddamn jam fucking packed every night. Now, I know it costs a lot of money. I know Canada's kind of still in funky mode with all kinds of different shit. But there's no fucking reason with the stars you got, with Brady and those guys, that you can't pack that building, bring it, build a team that's competitive, and show that you're going to spend. I told you, man, don't be cheap if you're an owner. Just don't. Cheap owners are the worst of the worst. They are. Why are you owning a team if you're fucking cheap? Like, it's just like, fuck you. So don't do it. Spend in the cap. They're not going to let you down. You sure as hell better not let them down, Andy. Yeah, I said that right.
And I use the example, like, listen, he'd have no problem. Brady Tkachuk would have signed an 8-year deal a long time ago. Say he was with a different organization, whatever, different man in charge at the top. Yep. This is all about that owner, man. I'm not like trying to like say this is how Brady feels about the owner or whatever. I'm just putting two and two together.
I know you are. I know you've
been around long enough to understand how this goes.
I know.
If he, say he's playing in St. Louis and Tom Stillman's the owner, man, he signs an 8-year contract extension a long time ago.
You're not kidding me. Look, Andy knows his shit, by the way. I chirp Andy a lot.
Okay.
Like, Andy's involved in, he just know, you know, like, you're talking to guys. So I get you, man. I'll pump your tires when need be.
So, hey, the most disappointing team for me so far, though, man, is the Blackhawks. Listen, everyone thought the Blackhawks were going to, although Kirby Dach, one of my favorite players in the league, man, I love watching that guy play. I'm glad he didn't get hurt, because that could have been a dangerous situation. Landeskog hitting him when he's down on one knee. Can't do that.
Yep.
And listen, people with Colorado, like, texting me and upset and whatever because I said it was a dirty hit, whatever. I thought it was a dirty hit, man. You know this game as a hitter. When you know when you have a player that's caught in a vulnerable pitch position.
Yeah.
Not to mention he was like a man on a mission that entire shift. He's, like, chirping guys. He's hitting everybody. And he ran him. I mean, listen, he's lucky, like I said, lucky that Doc didn't suffer a serious injury. The Blackhawks are lucky. But, again, they go out, they make the deal for Marc-Andre Fleury, they bring in Seth Jones, whatever, but Chicago, man, they look very, very loose. I mean, Jeremy Calton, the head coach there, you better get this thing turned around and get this thing moving in the right direction. We're talking about the Blackhawks, who've had controversy and whatever. They make some moves, people expect them to be better, and right now they don't look very good, Cam.
And they got Tazy back and all that shit, too. And it's like, yeah, the controversy, yeah, that's another thing where it's so fucking weird to even think about. But that's for another day. We don't know enough about it. We won't get into it. But, yeah, dude, I want the Blues and the Blackhawks to be competitive. Like, I want to big market team like that to be competitive. Like, I root for Marc-Andre Fleury, man. Great dude. Like, everybody fucking loves that guy. You want them playing in Chicago when they're good is such a cool fucking thing. And it's good for hockey. It's a big major city. And you want people to go crazy up there like they have been for the past, I don't know how long. You know, I don't know. But then again, you know, you want the Blues to beat them because we're Blues fans down here, I guess. But I want, there's no rivalry. Where's our rivalry at? I hope they hate each other. Now, we thought Nashville and Blues are going to have a little bit of rivalry and stuff like that. And it kind of happened and then happened. And they weren't very good and it didn't matter. But you want the Blackhawks to be a decent team. They got some superstars on that team, man. So, but anyway, it doesn't fucking matter. I don't give a shit if they're good or not, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. Listen, people in Toronto going crazy because they had to sign that backup goaltender to an ATO. And I'm like, listen, other teams have had issues with the cap. Vegas has had issues with the cap. Colorado most recently couldn't dress a full roster. I don't have any sympathy for any of these general managers, man, who get themselves caught up in a jam like that. Sorry. So now it happens to Toronto, and it's like, oh, this can't happen to the Leafs. Like, if it happens to somebody else, no one ever says shit, right? Dude. But if it's the Maple Leafs, then we have to react to it. Everyone, oh, we got to change the rules. Oh. Luxury tax, soft cap, all the – Listen, give yourself a little bit of wiggle room at the top, and you know, you better be prepared for what might hit you. You never know what's going to hit you.
Yeah, I know you, Carlo. We love you, Carlo. We love Carlo Colaiacomo. But hey, Doobie,
oh, yeah.
Aren't you like a mathematician?
He got so mad.
You guys so mad. Carl, I'm going to be talking to him tomorrow. But hey, Doobie, aren't you a mathematician? Like, aren't you fucking smart? I see those big old glasses you got on. Like, fucking do the math, homie. The fuck do I care if you fuck that up? I'm not going to change the rules because you can't fucking add up shit. Figure it out. Give yourself some leeway like Dougie does down here. Get on with yourself. I love all you Toronto folk. I do. I love you Canadians, and I want the team to do well. But goddamn, I fucking feel sorry for you because you can't add up. Figure it out. Now you got to get some goalie in there. Like, fuck you. Like, yeah. Do the math. Give yourself some wiggle room. Quit sign. Yeah, no wonder Carlo wants to. What Carlo said, and we're going to talk about it. But Carlo wanted to, you know, you pay over, then some of the money goes and disperse. Right. So now they're going to buy everybody. It's just like, well, right. What the fuck? They're going to be the Dodgers. It's like, no, right. I don't want that. I don't want you because you make a ton of money to be able to buy all these guys out and then spread the word. Like, okay. It's just, no, fucking figure it out on your own. Jesus Christ. I don't feel sorry for Mandy. I'm glad that you did that. Oh, Carlo's going to lose. Like, we love you, Carlo.
He's like, this is a league issue. It's never a league issue until it happens to Toronto.
I mean, what else you want up there, guys? Like, you got, hey, here's the deal. Okay. In order for Toronto to be successful, the two big boys need to figure out how to play in the playoffs. That's it. I just figure it out. Figure it out. You just figure out how to be a fucking warrior. Ryan O'Reilly did. Like, so many guys do. Guys figure it out. You haven't done it yet. Connor McDavid hasn't done it yet. He hasn't figured it out how to do it in the playoffs. That's it. You could add whatever you want, but the big boys need to be warriors. How do you know that mean, Kemp? What do you mean? What does it mean? Watch everybody else who wins, look at their superstars, and do fucking that.
So it's like Connor McDavid scores a hat trick the other night, and they're like, oh my God, he scored on a one-timer slap shot. Okay, now he's adding that to his arsenal to make him even more dangerous and whatever. Like, listen, I love watching Connor McDavid play. I love watching Austin Matthews play and Marner. But like, okay, like whatever. We've been through this several years now. We know they're great. We know they're generational talents. We know they're future Hall of Famers. We all know that they're going to be – you know, probably 1, 2, 3 are in the top 5 for the Hart Trophy voting at the end of every season. Like, they're that good.
Yes.
But show us in the playoffs, and we'll wait and reserve judgment until then.
Well, that's it. I mean, somebody asked me a question. Like, what do you think of the Leafs? What do they need to do? What do you mean, what do they need to do? What do you mean? What are they? You don't know? It's about those two. It's about the big players finding ways to be motherfucking tough in the playoffs when push comes to shove and you got guys rocking you every goddamn shift. You're getting hit every shift. The big players hit every shift. And you're not going out toe-dragging guys in the blue. Like, it's a different game. It's hardcore. It's mean. It's in your face. And you know what? Some guys, sometimes you get shut down and the third-line guys got to jump up and score goals. Look at Tampa, what they fucking did. Shit, they had so many fucking depth players score that now they're signing for so much money that now they're superstars on other teams and they're depth players on that team. I don't know, man.
It just kills me. Just kills me.
It's so fun. We love all
you. And they get so angry. They get so upset. It's like, what is going on? Change the rules. Change the rules. Like, well, whatever.
No.
Like, Vegas puts themselves in a jam. I tell you all the time, they look at every player around the league that's good as, like, the shiny little toy on Christmas that you just have to have. They got to have everybody. Yep. And they sign everybody. They put themselves in a bad spot. Colorado, it is what it is, man. They've got some COVID issues and whatever. Like, yeah. Their situation's a little different.
Totally.
But, and Vegas has been in that situation with COVID in the past and whatever. But Toronto, I just laugh when they all get upset. Win in the playoffs.
You know it. Just win.
So we got Torrey Krug on this edition of the Cam and Strick podcast. Man, he's cool. Could you believe the size of his arms, by the way, Cam? Like, his arms. Like, he walks in. It's like, remember back in the day, like, the defensive lineman. There was a defensive lineman who played for the Redskins by the name of Dexter Manley. And, like, he rolled his jersey all the way up into his shoulder pads. So, like, you saw his entire, like, arm.
The
biggest arms ever. Bruce Smith from the Buffalo Bills. All the Bills fans out there know what I'm talking about.
What up, baby?
And this guy just walks in. He's got the biggest arms. I'm like, whose arms did you just put on your body?
Well, Andy, when you work out, that's what happens. You just try it sometime. Maybe you'll get big arms one day. He pumps up, baby. He looks good. What a sweetheart of a human being, by the way. Great guy. He came in live with us, too. He didn't have to do that. And, he laughed at – I like when people laugh at me, not at me, but with me kind of thing, both is fine. But, you try to be funny, and he laughs. So I'm like, oh, I like you. Great guy. Came in. Huge arms. He's going to have a big year this year. And he gave us a lot of time, man. Good human being. Like, you can tell he's just a good dude, right? Yep. He's just a good dude. It's hard to say that with a lot of people, but I don't know, man. I like the guy a lot, but God dang, Popeye, both arms, gigantic, jacked. Good for you. Try it out, Andy. Yeah. Do some arm curls.
He's a hell of a player too. And you talk to players in Boston who know him and play with them. Guys like Backus, Trent Frederick, some of the boys that we know, whatever. They're like, this guy, Charlie McAvoy. I remember talking to McAvoy when we had him on with us and a couple times after that. And he's like, dude, this is one of my favorite teammates ever, So again, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out with him here in St. Louis down the road, because you got this Perunovic who is hot on the trail down in the America, has a similar style, similar game, whatever. But Krug, man, he just looks confident. And I think he's set to have a big year here in St. Louis. Certainly a more comfortable season than what he had last year. And now the fans can kind of get an opportunity to watch him play in person. We got an opportunity to talk to him in person, which we couldn't do last year, whatever. So it's all good with Torrey Krug, man. It was a big, big signing by Doug Armstrong at the time because they were losing Pietrangelo. And to get this guy as a free agent, signed to a 7-year contract, was a big get for Army and obviously for the Blues. And this guy's good, man. He and Justin Faulk, you talk about underrated defensive pairings in the league. Because Faulk, the more you watch him, and I know he struggled a little bit his first year here and whatever, but, for as much as he struggled the first year, he was pretty damn good last year. And now he looks like he's, he hasn't skipped a beat and he's ready to play off of what he did a season ago, man. Those two guys together, man, they don't get enough credit around the league for how good they are, man. So
yeah, and look, Army surrounded himself with guys that are making under $7 million. Okay, some teams buy the big boys for 11.5 or whatever the fuck. We ain't doing that. Like you got a bunch of guys making $7 million and they're all good. Now will the defense with the Blues be an issue? I don't know. I don't know. I guess that's the biggest question mark going into the season. Obviously, you see how deep they are fucking up top. Oh, good Lord almighty. They are loaded, but they don't have a big superstar. They're all just really, really good and winners too, by the way. So that is the biggest question mark, in my opinion, for the St. Louis Blues. We don't want to be too Blues heavy because we got fans everywhere. We all know that, but Kruger's up. So we're kind of talking about it, but Krug needs to have a good year. I mean, he certainly does. And if he does, and Justin Faulk plays to his potential, Comparego fucking healthy, they are going to be good.
Yeah.
They're going to be good. Oh, yeah. The Central Division is going to be good.
I like the Blues depth on at the forward position. I know a lot of people talked about that, but you even see the other day, and I know it was a close game and it got a little sketchy down the stretch. You see how many different players Craig Berube can put on the ice to close out a game. Oh. It's the options are endless. So you talk about having players in the playoffs who can play that style of hockey when things get tight and whatever. When you have to win a board battle, you got to win a 50-50 puck battle, get pucks out, whatever, to close out a game. A lot of teams don't have the luxury of having a handful of guys who can do that, man.
No doubt. Block a shot with their face, win a big draw, fall on the do whatever it takes to get that goddamn thing out of the zone. do whatever it takes to not get shots through, like just being a warrior. And I just, I use that term a lot and I kind of don't like it because I think I need to steer away from it, but I don't know what else to say. Like it's just that it's simple, but it's not simple because you got to go do it. But simply, like it, as far as your mindset's concerned, you do anything possible to help your team. Anything, whether that helps you specifically or not, it helps the team. Like you don't look at, well, maybe I should choose. No, whatever is good for the team. And I'm telling you, Lou would just he'd throw that in your you'd cradle it into your soul, and you're like, yeah. He was just, and I know it sounds cliche, but the way he presented it, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. And again, we preface this a lot, but on the other hand, if you watch good teams in the playoffs and you really, really look at their superstars and what they have to do on that every shift, it's just they are – you have to just be crazy in front of – everything right in front of the shot lanes, just doing everything you possibly can for the team. And until you figure that out, man, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I gotcha. If I'm Stan Bowman, the GM of the Blackhawks, who's also the GM of Team USA, you look at that Justin Faulk, though, man. You start focusing on him.
Fucking right.
Krug's on the radar. But same with Colton Parayko on the Canadian side. Obviously, you haven't Doug Armstrong here. If Parayko is healthy, like he's not the flashiest, doesn't put up the most points and whatever. I know you have some of these young kids, McCarr and whatever. But if you want a true elite one-on-one defender – with size and who's rangy and physical and whatever. Like, you know, Parayko's a guy who certainly is on the radar. They don't just – he can't just – listen, they need him to be a good player. They just gave him an 8-year contract extension. He has to be a
damn right
player here in St. Louis. And it looks like he's healthy and he's certainly on his way to being that this season.
Can I give a shout-out right quick? My boy, Ilya Kovalchuk. Love you, buddy. Congratulations, GM of Team Russia for the Olympics. Wow. You didn't hear that?
No. Well, no, I did hear that. Saw it on social media.
GM, eh? Wow. Kobe? Damn, boy. Good for you, baby. I texted him. He texted me right back. Just like that. Makes me feel good. Love
him. He's the man.
God. He's
legend.
Oh, my God. He's the nicest, funniest, coolest dude. I'm telling. People hated him when he left. But if you knew him as a pro, oh, my God. Always laughing. Laughs at everything. Oh, he like does a little dance. Like, he's just fucking awesome, man. Just
he's got an unbelievable story, whatever. Great story throughout the course of his career and all that, man, too. And we had him on the podcast if people want to check out that episode like over a year
ago. Give him a shout out.
We had him on during the pandemic. Ilya Kovalchuk, man.
Ilya. Great guy.
Pure sniper. All right, the Cam and Strick podcast presented by Hair Club. Let's get to Torrey Krug. Also brought to you by CarShield and CarShield.com, baby. 800-857-2481. 800-857-2481. Use that promo code CAM, which is embarrassing. I realize that. Why? But you got
to
use it.
Well, do you want to be cowboy instead, motherfucker?
It's going to save you money. Hey, you never know when something's going to go down in your vehicle. It could be a computer, could be an engine, alternator, starter. Make sure you're protected. At the highest level, you got the right protection and you've got that CarShield. CarShield.com. Again, use that promo code CAM, 800-857-2481. We love our friends over there at CarShield, baby. How about our friend over there with Bellman and Bellman.com? We gave Danny Boy a shout out. We do it every single week. And Dale. And then last week, we gave a shout out to Kenny. Little Kenny Bellman hanging out at the Blues game.
What's up, Kenny?
He's our boy. He's on the team as well, man. Bellman is legendary for their car sales, man. They got the Buick GMC on one side of the street. On the other side, the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Stop on in to Troy, Missouri. Listen, man, they want to buy your used car, too. And it's not just about the new inventory. It's the used inventory that they have. And if you have a car sitting in your garage or your driveway right now, and you're like, maybe it's time for an upgrade. Dude, they will buy your car. They want to buy it today. Cam, you want to touch real quick on the customer service you get there?
Oh, well, there ain't no swinging dicks, okay? You know how it is when you go to these some of these goddamn places where you're like, I can fucking 10 dudes come out swinging their dick around. Like, whatever. Show me a fucking car. I don't like that. Not a Bellman. Very classy. Your wife can go buy a car in there. I need to get a new truck. I want to get a 3/4 ton. I might want to get a diesel. I know gas prices are kind of crazy. Probably go down. Maybe not. But I want to get a 3/4 ton diesel, something badass, brand new.
Okay.
I'm just saying. It gets cold out here. wintertime's coming, and there's big hills out here, and I need to get up and down the motherfucker. And I like how diesel, my buddy drove us out to that farm the other day in his big ass Ford F-350 diesel, badass. I'm just like, God damn, dude, I love it, man. It's mean, it's badass, it goes forever. He doesn't even, I want to pull up somewhere and keep my diesel truck running too, because you don't like turning it off. He's keeping on. You just look like a shit kicker. Okay. You look like a shit kicker. And that's what I want to look like. Andy, you should probably get one because your status might move up a little bit if you got a badass car or truck.
Yeah. I could drive a pickup truck. I really think I could pull that off.
You need to get bigger or something. Start working out like Kruger. Get yours. Your arms need to be big. Okay. If you drive a truck, you got to have at least big arms or something. Your neck needs to be kind of jack looking or something. You're just not there yet. So just drive the Volvo. You'll be all right.
Well, I'm going to get a new car from Bellman. You know that. Bellman.com. They will buy your used car today at Bellman. Of course, Daredevil Hockey. You talk about the ultimate protection. Daredevilhockey.com. Again, these skate lacerations. Carlo's probably mad at me right now, but he endorses Daredevil Hockey. Disappointed. He is so mad at me because I called him out.
Oh, God.
But I tell Carlo, I said, you're always a player, man. Don't turn into one of these like Toronto people.
He's going to be so pissed at you.
Daredevil Hockey, the ultimate protection.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Protect yourself from skate lacerations. Skate lacerations, the number one cause of emergency room visits among youth hockey players, man. Again, you just don't know when it's coming. It's not like you can, like, just say, okay, it's not going to happen today. You don't know that.
Yeah.
You don't know that. Yeah, I'm watching these kids fall all over each other. They step on each other. I mean, this is serious, serious stuff, okay?
They don't even know they have weapons.
Compared to
have
a hockey, use that promo code Cam and Strick, all caps. Cam and Strick, it's going to save you lots and lots of money. And again, if you're a parent of a youth hockey player, man, I don't care what age. If you're a men's league player, I don't care how old you are. You're not going out there. You're not getting paid millions of dollars. You're doing it for fun. And the last thing you need to do when you get off the ice at like 10:30 at night after your like men's league game is then you got to go to the emergency room because you're all cut up and sliced up because you got to skate last.
You got to go get zipped up for fucking 25, cost you out the wazoo. And you know what? Like, it looks cool when you're a hockey player getting cut in the face or getting cut anywhere. But when you're just a normal dude, it looks like you look stupid. Like, you don't want to get hurt. Like, it's not part of the, you know, you don't play hockey to get hurt, right? And so what's the point of not using that? Like, I don't get it. Like, these guys, you know how many Leos are out there falling or turning their stick around and, you know, just spinning their stick around like a bunch of fucking morons. Like, you got to protect yourself, man. It's too dangerous. You got weapons on your feet. You got weapons in your hand, dude. I don't know. It's just, there's no reason not to do it. There's no reason not to get that and wear it for your undergear. No reason.
Hey, don't be a Leo. That's basically all you need to know. Don't be a Leo. Daredevil Hockey, baby. Use that promo code Cam and Strick. All right, local legend clothing apparel, man. This clothing company. Listen, he's from Cincinnati. I think I've said Cincinnati, but Cam, you'll love this, man. The company is based out of North Carolina.
North
Carolina. The rolling hills, the mountains, the beautiful weather of North Carolina, baby.
The Biltmore. Local the Biltmore mansion. Oh, yeah. Yep. Badass.
I've been there.
Love it out there, baby. There.
In fact, listen. At the Biltmore, they have like these rooms, right? Like these like historic rooms with like the furniture and stuff. Like the Biltmore family, it's been there since like the 1800s. So we were there, and like it's all roped off. You can't go in there. It's not like you can go sit at the desk or the couch or these living rooms, whatever. Like all this like furniture is like the original stuff from like the 1800s. So Ty, he's got chocolate all over his face. And all of a sudden, he crosses the rope and he goes into like this like historic like bedroom where like the king of like the Biltmore family guy, he like lived.
They weren't kings. Like, they're American. They weren't kings.
Well, whatever he did. I don't know. I mean, what do you think he did inside this bedroom?
No, I think it was the Roth. It was Vanderbilts. The Vanderbilts.
The built Vanderbilts.
That. Yeah, it wasn't the Biltmore. Vanderbilts. But they actually had a train system that they built just to bring in material. Now, it looks over that beautiful fucking gorgeous mountain, the Ash Mountains, I think, in North Carolina, whatever they're called. But they had literally, they made a train depot. Asheville, North Carolina. They made that just shows how much brick and mortar and fucking concrete and all that shit they had to bring in there, dude. But that was the Vanderbilts, dude.
All right. It's actually the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's in Asheville, North Carolina. That's the Blue Ridge Mountains, man. Well, the Vanderbilts, man, local legend. They've got barware too. They got the wine glasses, the beer glasses, which I have. You can get the rock glasses as well. Cam has the wine glasses. But they got the little local legend laser print that's on these glasses, man. It's sick. The hoodies, the t-shirts, the long sleeve t-shirts, the hats, color combinations for everybody. They are unbelievable. Check them out. Local legend. BeALocalLegend.com. Everyone knows a local legend. And it doesn't have to be just like an athlete or a famous person, man. There's a lot of people that are around you. Like the kid across the street who goes to Harvard, 100% on the ACT.
Get off this fucking kid. He hasn't done shit yet. I don't give a fuck what his grades are. What though? Have you cured cancer? Did you cure COVID? Did you do anything yet? I don't give a fuck about your score. Quit talking about this kid until he does 100%, something.
100%. All right, he's a local legend at his high school, probably.
He ain't nothing yet. He hadn't done anything yet. So just because he made that great, people are going to be like, here you go. No, do something. Do something. Know some local legends? The dude I just fucking wrangled, doesn't matter. The cows for, that dude was a fucking Marine, you know? Like, that guy's a legend. And he built a business and he's making a ton of money. That's a fucking local legend. That dude fucking busted his ass, badass. He was a sniper. Like that dude is from middle Missouri, baby. What's up? And he built his company. He's got a fuck yeah. I don't give a shit about your grades. You got to prove to me after your grades that you do student something. Otherwise, it's like, oh, cool. You were smart in high school. Now what?
I got to catch his name. He got 100% on the ACT. He goes to Harvard. He's really just, and I got another kid down the street who goes to USC who, like, I think he got like one wrong. He may have gotten like one wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're all like, you know, brilliant around here.
Okay? Define that. Define brilliance, please. Like, seriously. Is he walking on air? Is he walking on water? Come on. What has he done? He put a math problem together.
Might be.
Put a math problem together for Kyle Dubas.
The kid also,
so he gets his cap situation.
Oh, Dubas, listen, you need to hire this kid as your capologist. That's what he should be doing.
There you go, kid. Jesus Christ.
I got to get a picture of him. I got to make the introduction.
All right, get off of this fucking kid, you weirdo.
I know Kyle from back. Listen, when Kyle Dubas was an agent back in the day, I met him for like breakfast a couple times at a draft. He used to come and like scout, like, you know, our AAA Blues games and stuff like that. We're like looking for kids, and I used to like make recommendations to him, whatever, back in the day. And now here he is, the GM of the Maple Leafs, and just can't get the cap right. We love you, Kyle.
We love all you guys, man. It's all good, dude. It's all good.
And Shanny.
Shanny. When's she coming on? Everybody wants us to get Shanny on. He's like, yeah, I don't think so.
BeALocalLegend.com.
Yeah.
He's a local legend. @BeALocalLegend on Instagram. Check out their Instagram so you can see all the different color combinations and everything they do. My boy Ryan out of North Carolina. Flat out.
Put your hands up. Man, and spin like a helicopter or something.
Who's that?
You didn't hear that song before? North Carolina, put your hands up. Take your shirt off and spin it like a helicopter.
I haven't heard that. They don't go like that either.
It's a stupid song.
Dude, I'll tell you what's not stupid is my custom sports chair. You see those chairs I put together? Strick chair?
Where's mine at? Where are my chairs?
It's right over here. I'm not putting them together for you, though.
Put
the
fucking thing together. Put it in the back of your Volvo and bring your ass over here. You haven't even seen my house yet. Bring the fucking chairs over, dude. I want a lounge, homie.
I got a surprise for you inside this box right here. This devil's chair. You're going to love it, man. It says Jansen on the back.
That's what I want.
Five. You can customize the chair to look like anything you want. If you're a business owner out there, you want to have your business on there. Any team, any player, current player, past player, Hall of Famer. If you want to put your little son, little Bobby's name and number on the back, you can do that. Like, even though he didn't play.
What about that kid next door? What about the kid next door? Why don't you get a chair for him? Why don't you get a chair of him and sit in it all day and sleep on it because you love him so much, weirdo?
With his ACT number? I'll be like,
I love this chair.
I don't know his name.
Well, that's a problem.
And I don't want to try to say it.
Why? Where's he from? Where's he from? India? Is he?
Oh, he lives in the poor part of Ladue, dude.
No, but where are they from? Where are they from? His name.
He's an American. He's an American. I mean, everybody's from everywhere, but we're all Americans.
I'm just saying. I'm just asking. Is he from India?
No, he's not.
We are.
He's not. My neighbors are, who are growing okra in the backyard, and Blay has been out there in their yard just chewing on his celery, his carrots, his tomatoes. Oh, all right, so my custom sports chair can put anybody's name and number. I might put his ACT number on there, give it to him, and I'm just to celebrate the fact that this guy is a pure genius, and he needs to get hired by the Maple Leafs as their capologist. They need to do it right now. Like, hire this kid. Like, what do you do? This that is embarrassing, but it's also preventable, so we don't need to change the rules anyway. So my custom sports chair, use that promo code CAM and Strick 20. It's going to get you 20% off. These things are Canadian made, and they can handle any weather conditions, so you can keep them outside throughout the winter. Nothing's going to happen to them. They are so sturdy. They're made so nice. I got a USA Hockey one, too. He said, well, what number and name do you want on the back of that USA Hockey one? I said, just put Kachuk. Walt, baby. Number seven.
Yep.
And so I got a USA. You can get a Canadian Hockey one, man. You can get any team. They've got bands. They got everything. So my custom sports chair, use that promo code CAMANDSTRICK20. All right, you're going to save lots of money. We got to go. Torrey Krug. And his big-ass arms. This guy is jacked. He's got bigger arms than Cam.
He does.
And one of the nice people you're going to meet, and certainly, talented as hell. He can skate. He can do the 10-2, and he gets quarterback of power plays. A damn good hockey player, man. And people are going to enjoy this conversation. Torrey Krug with us now on the Cam and Strick podcast, presented by Hair Club, baby. The Cam and Strick podcast is brought to you by CarShield. You know, nothing more frustrating, Cam, than when that engine light comes on, and you know, right off the bat, you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars to repair your vehicle. Call 800-857-2481. Mention the promo code CAM or visit carshield.com and use the code CAM to save 10%. Yeah. That's carshield.com. A deductible may apply. Save yourself money. Cam. Sign up and get your coverage now with carshield.com. Interview. Can I just start this off real quick?
Yeah.
Who has the biggest arms in the studio? Because it's not you.
It ain't me.
It's not you.
Well, it ain't you either.
Well, it might be. You never know.
You look jacked as fuck, dude. I'm sorry. You look great. Damn.
Built for the corners. I'm just trying to, to battle with the big guys in the corners.
Is that what it is?
You
look like Roman Polak, like a shorter version of Roman Polak.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but your arms look... They look big, like really. They look bigger than and you got tats everywhere. What's with the tats? What do you got there?
A little bit of everything. I got a lion. My kids are over here, so yeah, a little bit of everything.
I'm thinking about getting a tattoo, like maybe a couple of them.
Tori,
where at?
Oh, I don't know yet. Well, I just get
in his lower back.
A tramp stamp. No, I don't know. Was that painful? Like the lion looks a little painful.
Different parts of the armor hurt more than the others. But, yeah.
Would you go neck?
No, I'm
behind the ear. Behind the ear.
I got to be able to hide him a little bit too.
This guy the other day.
If you want a job.
Hey, this guy the other day at a gas station, I was behind him. I cut face full on, everywhere. He couldn't have been nicer.
That's what happens in his neighborhood.
We talked for a long he wasn't in the neighborhood. It was actually right by Centene Community Ice Center, not right by the rink at that mobile station.
Tell them on the bus.
So you never know. Welcome back, man. Yeah, so you just get back in town? Like, what do you do during the off season?
I did, yeah. We spent the summer in Boston this past year. We were one of the few families that didn't go home during the off season. We stayed out there. The summer's the best time of the year out in Boston. So it was pretty sweet. That was our last summer there. Then got back to town here about a week ago and getting ready to grind up and back to camp.
You still have a house there? Like, are you still part Boston, part St. Louis?
I just sold it.
Yeah, did you?
You did? Done,
yeah. Who bought it? McAvoy?
No, I didn't sell it to any of the boys, but it was good to us. Boston was great to us. Especially the summers, man. It's a great town.
Where'd you go in the summer?
No, that's where I stayed.
No, but like in Boston? Like, where'd you go? Like, do you go to
Martha's Vineyard?
No.
I stayed. I was in the North End, so I stayed down there, and I had friends that had boats, and we'd hang out.
Friends with boats. Funny how that works.
You
although you need a
boat.
No. Hey, look.
You don't get your own boat.
You need to get your own boat, and we'll talk about that later. But it is.
Well, no, he's living in St. Louis now full time. You bought Petrangelo's house, right?
I did.
Did he leave it in good condition for you?
Yeah, he left it pretty good.
Did he give you a deal?
Yeah, I mean,
you negotiate.
I think so.
Like, how do you do it?
No, he didn't.
No, like, we negotiated back and forth.
Did you?
Yeah, he's a tough negotiator.
He's a stickler.
I know. We heard that about him now.
Sailors don't know anything about that.
So did your agent deal with it, or are you and Petro like sitting like at the opposite ends of the table and be like, I'm gonna give you this, and he's like, I want this.
Yeah, no, I came into town and I was looking at houses with my wife, and he actually just texted me. He said, hey, I heard you're here. If you want to come check out my house, and the timing worked out perfect. And we went back and forth over text messages and calls over the next couple of weeks. And
got a pool?
Nice pool. Yeah, it worked out nice.
Petro better have a goddamn pool. I was thinking about that. I'm like, you better have a nice.
I don't think his other one had a pool. So this one has a nice pool though. You didn't put it in.
No, I
didn't. It was there already.
That's a pain. He did a good job. Yeah.
Okay. It's all set up for him. Now, are you going to stay here in the summers now, or where are you going to be in the summer?
No, we're going to head down to Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, lovely.
You already have all that set up already? Did you find a place down there?
Yeah, we're actively looking.
Why Charleston?
My wife's sister is moving down there with her husband.
Beautiful down there.
I have a few friends that live down there as well. And
listen, it's chill. Older people everywhere. No crime.
So clean. Very clean.
Now you'll get alligators, not crocodiles. You'll get alligators down there. Yeah, you're golfing. Yeah. Like, oh, listen, this little thing. Yeah. Like, that might take my Achilles heel off. But it's chill down there. Yeah, dude. South Carolina is awesome.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's hot.
A little hot.
Yeah.
It's hot.
You
can
change the seasons down there, though. You get to change the season down there. Yeah. North Carolina is one of my favorite states, but South Carolina is up there too.
Where are you going to skate, though, to get yourself ready to go in Charleston? Is there a
great
group?
Great question.
There's a pool of guys down there are starting to, I think some players are starting to move down there, and they're all working together, and I think it should be. Because
it's cheaper. It's not, you're south of the Washington, D.C. mm-hmm. corridor. Yeah. It's a little bit cheaper. You can find cheap places. Yeah. Again, no crime.
It's turning into a spot.
It's not that cheap, is it? Charleston? Well, it's like a big vacation destination.
It depends on where you're comparing it to.
Right.
You're comparing it to fucking Jersey or even Boston or anything like that. It's a lot.
People are very polite in Charleston.
Very much so.
Very
older
nice.
People.
Very nice.
They might not like you, actually. Well, they might be a little too loud for me.
they probably would. So you ready to go this season?
Yeah, we are.
What's it like? Hold on. What's it like going from one team, you're there forever, and then you come to a new team? Like, is it as difficult as we make it out to be? Like, do you walk in and be like, hi, guys, I'm here.
Hi.
My name's Tori.
I'm Tori.
What's your name?
Well, we all knew each other pretty well, too, because we had just went to battle a few months before.
Yeah.
But it is tough. I really do. I'm not sure in a normal season how much more different it would be for me, but the COVID year was really tough because we couldn't go out to dinner, have a couple beers together, get to know each other. And then I have my wife at home who's not allowed to go out and meet the other wives, and people can't come to town, so that was tough, too.
That's probably tougher on her than you.
Yeah,
it was harder.
You're at the rink.
And Andy, you know, being in a locker room, all that, we make friends, okay? Like, we'll walk in the locker room, what's up, everybody, what you do? But the wives, it's different. Like, it's hard for the girls. Like, even Kate's not, like, Kate's the opposite of me, like, you know? So for her to make friends, so my point is, like, she's living in a nice house. Everything's fine. But on the other hand, like, you don't have a social life. You can't talk to a girl. You know what the hell you're doing. You're gone all damn time.
Yeah, it was tough. And she was in the early parts of her pregnancy. We just had our second kid. So she had the hormones running wild. And,
not able to meet
any of the other wives. And like I said, our families weren't even really allowed to come to town either, which was even harder than it was. And then chasing around a one-year-old on top of that. So
the rules really were like, What we heard they were. Like, you couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
you couldn't go out to a restaurant. No.
It was takeout. That was about it. You go pick it up.
Like, what do you guys want to do tonight? Well, the same thing we did last night.
Exactly.
Nothing.
It's Groundhog Day.
Would you guys play cards? And even if you wanted to or not? Because some guys, like, I'm a card guy, but your attention span needs to be on point or you're losing a lot of money.
Yeah, we were able to, like, you know, we had these rooms on the road that we were able to go into, but you couldn't go into each other's rooms or anything, but. Yeah, it was weird.
What about if you have kids and like somebody else has a kid? Could you meet at like a park?
I did that a couple times. I don't know if I was allowed to, but I did.
That's
I'm pretty sure
meet
you could,
at a park. I was allowed to meet my children at a park.
Don't tell anybody.
Oh my gosh,
don't tell anybody. Make sure the paparazzi's not there.
Aren't you glad that this season's going to be a lot better? And you know, even like Toronto, They're bringing fans in.
Oh, yeah, full capacity.
Like going to Canada was even worse. Yeah. I mean, going up to Canada. We have so many Canadians that listen to this. But, man, like that whole – and we talked to everybody about the whole thing. But it's like going into this year, you're like, things are going to be a little bit more normal. Yeah. I'm going to get my groove. I'm going to – it's you could do normal things on the road. And a lot of people might be like, well, you're fine. You're staying – no. It's miserable traveling if you can't do anything.
Right. And I think for me, too, what's going to be cool is I'll be able to see the St. Louis fans up close. Like, I didn't get any of that last year.
Well, they'll get close.
They're going to love you.
They'll get close to you, especially those big old fucking arms.
Hey, wait.
Hey, come here. Let me touch you.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. I mean, and I think we're a team that kind of thrives off the energy of the crowd, and we want that mojo, that swagger, and we all come to play in the big moments, and I think that's kind of my thing, too, so it'll be fun.
All right, you mentioned going to battle with the Blues. So you go to battle, and then now you're with the Blues. Like, right after they win and everything. I guess it was a year removed after they won. But, like, is that – how long did it take for you to get used to all of that? Like, could you ignore it? Was it right in front of your face, and was that difficult?
I think I'm over it. I'm not over it.
Yeah.
Trust me. Like, you don't get over that. Mm-hmm. No. But as far as, like, the situation with the team and everything, is like, I'm good with it now. There were times last year where it's like, I'm in the lounge at the rink and I'm staring at the game sheet and I'm like looking at it because they have it posted on the wall
everywhere.
Like,
yep.
And then all of a sudden I'm looking at the trophy and I'm like just off in a daze. And like Schenner will be like, what you looking at, Tor?
Oh,
like
a dick.
So they won't chirp you. They won't chirp you.
No, no, they don't chirp you. No, they know. They know how.
What about for you, Cam? Because Cam lost in the final. Cam was giving the pregame speeches back in 2012.
Like an asshole. Because I couldn't get the puck out of the zone, so I got to give a pregame speech before they go on the ice. That was very difficult. Look, I don't know. I had other issues I was dealing with at the time. Can I ask you something, though, about that Game 7? Andy, were you there, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Sorry about that.
I was on the ice after the game. Cam got locked out.
I got locked out of the building. I told that story. We don't need to tell it again. Here's the point. We're all watching that, and, like, no offense to Boston's arena, okay? But, like, it's all crammed up there. Like, all the guys that are sitting out are sitting next to us, and we're, like, talking to them. But when you're playing that game, like, when was the moment where you're like, God damn it? Because you guys had been pretty fucking confident going into that Game 7.
At home.
When did you feel, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We're on the bench, you look at everybody, they're like, and it comes out, and you're like, fucking Chara, whatever.
The second goal at the end of the period?
Was it Schinner's one time from Vladdy?
Yeah, that's the moment right there because it wasn't actually. You know what? I'll give you a different one. Is when Binner made that save on Nordstrom.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my god!
Because that was before Schenner scored.
It was.
And we had game one is a perfect example. We were down two goals going into the second. We came back and tied it, and then we won the game. So we were confident. Like if we got one, we thought we'd get two, and that was okay. But then when he made that save, and then all of a sudden they came down the ice and Schenner scored, then it was like, oh boy, we're in trouble here.
When you see a goalie like that do his thing, are you like, how demoralizing, deflating is that going into the second period when you're like, oh, he's on.
Yeah.
Okay, he's on.
Well, the first period, I'm not joking, the first period was one of the most dominant periods we've had all season long.
It was so one-sided. It wasn't even close.
And we were like, all right, if we get one here, like this could be a route. That's how good we're playing right now. And and I get to see it up close now when he gets that look in his eye, and
you see it from Binner.
Yeah, I see it. And now I respect it even more watching him every single day. So
were the Blues like one of the first teams to call you? Like when you became a UFA or like the first day of free agency, did you know that they were interested right away?
I didn't know. Interestingly enough, my agent called and he's like, hey, Doug Armstrong called. And I was like, huh. It's kind of interesting.
What's he want?
He's like, let's have a chat.
I saw that dude score four points in one Stanley Cup final game.
Rock, we won. Oh boy, dude.
It's on Rock Robert Thomas, too. We want him on our team.
So he said he wants to chat, and I had a phone call with him, and I'm pretty sure it kind of shocked him that I was mutually interested, but it turned out to be a good fit, and we got a long time to go.
So. You're like, I'm not interested. Army's like, okay, well, I have 7 years, $45 million.
I got one of them 7 year deals.
I'm interested. That'll get your attention right
away.
That's right. Do you talk to Chief too? Did Chief like, and did any of the players recruit you? Like, how does that work?
None of the players recruited me. I talked to Chief and Army, and I think the thing that goes unnoticed in free agency is like these guys talk to the GMs and their agents talk to the GMs, but you got to get a feel for the coach because ultimately that's the guy that is tapping you on the shoulder, telling you when to go out, when to come off, and when you're in the lineup or out of it. So for me, that was like that was more important, kind of gauging that situation and looking at the roster, seeing how I could fit, what age everyone was on the team, kind of get that feel for it too. But, you know, Chief was great, and I'm excited to play for him.
What do you think about his reputation? He, of course, you know what he did in the NHL, like freakish stuff, 1,000 games, like just the way he played. But as far as a coach, like what, how did you look at, how did you evaluate him? And did he ever say anything to you when you're on the ice or anything like that where you kind of had a weird feeling for him?
I've heard nothing but great things, to be honest, like from the get-go. Just, you know, it was simple. You know, if you worked hard and you listened to us, I think we all have a chance at success. And no, nothing crazy. I mean, there's a few moments, you know, over the last year where I'm like, all right, maybe he hasn't had a player like me before because he's used to, like, you know, the 6'5" defensemen that are, you know, pretty cut and dry. You move the puck and get it to the forwards and this and that, and now you got a smaller mobile guy that tries to make certain plays that maybe,
like, what's up?
Maybe other guys might not see or whatever. And I think there were a few moments where I was like, maybe he's not used to that. But I think it's been great so far, and I'm excited to keep this thing going.
Awesome. But how different do the Blues play, though? Like, compared to Boston, you look at Boston, like these superstar forwards you had surrounding you, like future Hall of Famers, like they play a certain style, and the Blues have just as much success. Maybe they don't put up the same point totals, but they're just as effective in their own way, but they play a different brand of hockey, right? So does that take a little while to get used to?
It's similar, but it's different. Like you said, I think over in Boston, there's one line there that does a lot of the heavy lifting. It's no secret. And they play a certain way, but
with Trent Frederick's line?
Freddie. Yeah. Freddie does it. Great guy. But to be honest, you know, lines 2 to 4 are very similar style Blues play. The coach expects you to play a certain way, and if you don't do it, then you're not going to play. And I didn't see too much of a difference. X's and O's wise, we might do a few things different, but in terms of like a team structure and understanding that the team is bigger than any individual player, that was the same exact mentality. So
what's Chara like? I need to know what this guy is all about. Well, you know, you gotta be quicker.
Oh shit.
I mean, because now he's back. Like, I mean, he'll never retire. Will he ever retire, like, on his own?
I don't know.
Like, do the guys all, like him in the room? Is he a good guy? Is he weird? Is he generous? Like, he's so much older than everybody else now.
Yeah, I've seen a few different phases of Zdeno. And early on, I was really intimidated by him, and which is, like, it's if he walks into a room, his like, presence. His stature, his presence, it's intimidating. God. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like mine, a little
right?
Bit.
But the opposite. But go ahead.
Very similar. And then as things got going, like, you know, he got a little bit older, and he changed his leadership style. The team changed. Like, we went from a much older team to a younger team with a couple older guys sprinkled in. And just watching him change as a leader and evolve was pretty cool to watch. And Patrice obviously grew up right next to him and became a crazy leader in his own way. And it was great, man.
Change though? Like what? Like was he the kind of guy, and I could picture this walking in the locker room where if you're a young kid and you walk in, he'll be like, "Hello, sir." And walk by, and all of a sudden you're like, "Hi, I want to talk." Oh, okay. And he kind of walks by, and he'll say hi to you, but there's not that like connection where you can be like, "I like him. I feel like comfortable." Like, he's just so much of a presence, and it's hard to like explain that to people. But what do you mean by like him changing his ways? Like what do you mean?
I think that presence early on was more of like intimidation factor. And, you know, if you don't do things a certain way, like he kind of gives you a look and he's like, "What are you doing over there?" But, and then as things evolved, like it was more, he would get to know guys and be like, "Hey, try to take certain guys under the wing. Like, hey, maybe this is part of the process that you don't do that. Maybe I can help you with." And,
I see.
Yeah, like he's like trying to take guys under the wing, get to know them a little bit more.
More social, maybe?
Yeah, much more social. And, you know, we're going out to dinners and hanging out and get to know guys a little bit more. Where early on, I think he was playing like 25, 26 minutes a night. And, like, you can't expect those guys to be out to dinner every night on the road. And he's got a lot to worry about in his own right. So, as things kind of moved on, he just he became much more social and getting to understand guys, you know, understand what makes you tick is different than what makes him tick. Mm-hmm. And
wheatgrass is Andy's thing. He likes wheatgrass.
There you go. Hey, man, it's good for you. Yeah. But you know what, though? Like, I'm curious. Like, when he had the broken jaw, and then we'll move on. About, like, were you guys like, is he going to play? Like, was he like, I'm going to play? Like, he couldn't talk? Like, how was he eating? Gosh. Like, were you shocked that he was able to what he did with the broken jaw?
Couldn't believe it. I mean, I remember coming out for the, I think it was the third period of that game, game four, and he's like got his new protection on, and he's like just blood is just falling out of his mouth, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, is he gonna go out for a shift here? Like, what's going on?
This guy's crazy.
And he's like, all of a sudden we skipped a couple times, and then I'm like, Z, what's going on here? And he's like still just leaking blood out, and he's like just kind of a cheerleader for the rest of that game, and then we go home, and he's got broken jaw, a couple places, gets surgery. I'm like, oh, Z's out. Like, no way. He's not going to play. This is crazy. Like, we just lost our big D-man. Sure enough, he strolls in with his suit on. He's like, ready to go.
Nothing happened.
Can't talk. He's like this the whole time. All right, guys, he's not talking. Can't eat.
Oh, my God. He's like ready to kill somebody. Yeah.
He's breathing like this. Yeah.
You know, because was it game five when he came back and played?
Yeah.
I remember being like, at the whatever, the TD Garden, whatever. And I'm like, this is the craziest scene I've ever seen. Like, how is Boston going to lose
with
the fan base going? It was like Willis Reed from like the New York Knicks back in the day who walked back on the court with like a broken leg and played. Like, that was that the loudest you ever heard the building? Like,
his name was
introduced.
Absolutely. Like, without a doubt. And that was a very similar first period that we played in game seven. Like, we were dominant in that first period too. And it was just, it didn't work. But, that was the loudest I've ever heard that building. It was crazy. And it was like, to me, I mean, that's a legend right there. Like, that's a legendary thing to do. And,
Dude, his ancestors were fucking warrior. Like,
they're like, he's not the first Chara to do that.
They took over countries back in the day.
I know. Other Charas have done the same thing. Probably even
worse. Imagine him with a sword back in the,
hey, the coolest player on that team though, without even asking, is Pasta, right?
Yeah, no brainer. Okay. Yep.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I mean, there's nobody like, he's the
funny guy. Like, funny. Like, his commercials are fun. Is he cool? Like, what's up, Pasta? I can hit the rock, homeboy.
He's awesome. Yeah. And some of the guys give me so much crap because I talk about him all the time, but he's amazing, man. He's a great kid. Works hard, always happy, no bad days.
Your best friend on the team? Was he your best friend?
Him and Kretch are two of my best friends, even
all
to this day. I think I'm Czech at heart.
They're kind of hit or miss sometimes. You know,
he's dominating the Czech league, by the way. Have you seen the highlights?
Oh, Jak scored.
It's like
Jak
men's league. Jak had two goals. But no, like, Krejci had like two goals. He's like just doing things like with the puck. Like, it's like men's
league.
The
Czechs are good.
Now
I think about it, like, Sikora was off, like, they're good, down to earth, cool cats. But Pasta seems like
Saboka.
I'm not even going to say it.
What about Polak?
Both have the same like thing that's big, but it's all good. It's all great guys. They're all great guys. It is what it is. But Pasta's a cool cat that like walks and everybody's laughing at him, and he goes out there and fucking scores three.
Yeah, like his some of those, like his style is crazy too. Like you walk in, like I would never wear any of the crap that he's wearing, but like he's the only guy in the world that can pull it off and doesn't care what you're saying. If you're snickering behind his back, doesn't care. He's
what are you gonna say to him? Right. Give me the puck, baby.
And then he goes out and has
two goals and three assists.
Yeah,
whatever.
How's Brad Marchand?
Awesome. Yeah,
same kind of thing, because he seems like the same kind of guy.
Unbelievable.
Like funny, cool, but he's a dick to everybody. Mm-hmm. Like when you see, and we talked to Gudas about this the other day too. Like you think of Racco Gudas, and look, Marchand's on a different level, but you look at it as a fan, you're like, I hate him. Like, I hate this guy. Look,
Steve Ott was the same way,
Snotter,
man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then all of a sudden he plays on your team. Like, explain that, how that works.
Yeah, it was, you know, when we were younger, he was definitely a little harder, rougher around the edges. But, you know, as he developed and grew as a leader again, like we talk about the leaders from Boston, they just kind of evolve and they bring on the next guy, put them under their wing. And he's one of those guys too. It's crazy, man. He's just such a good guy, good teammate, good friend, you know, awesome dude off the ice. He'll do anything for you. And like you ask him.
Picks up the tab?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He loves to pick up the tab.
Anybody cheap
probably
on that team?
He probably gets the points. Oh, no cheap guys. Yeah. Right, we don't let cheap guys fall.
We can't
cracks.
Do the cheap shit. Yeah. I don't like the cheap
But
guys.
It's like the evolution of a guy like David Perron, who's been here forever, too. And now he's turned into like a veteran guy.
Kruger, when he was young, though. Andy, you know. Perry was all cocky.
Yeah.
We love him so much. He's a we had a blast from the other night. He is a best guy in the world. Mm-hmm. But when he was young, he was cocky. Oh, yeah. Very kind. We room with him. He was a little cocky, but he changed. Mm-hmm. Like, he can. Like, because some of these guys, man, they just get pumped up. All of a sudden become, you're okay at hockey, and all of a sudden you're really good. Mm-hmm. And now you're a first-round pick, and now you're playing at 18. Right. How are you not cocky?
But let me ask you this. Like, when you get to the, especially you, like, undrafted, like, you've had to prove yourself really since day one. Like, it's not like you had, like, this easy path where you just, all of a sudden, first-round pick in the NHL 18-19. So can you ever be comfortable? Are you ever comfortable? You got the contract now, but, like, are you ever comfortable?
Of course he is. Ian. What the fuck are you talking? What are you talking about?
Because I think
comfortable with what?
Hey, I'm asking. What are you talking about? A question.
Are
you,
go ahead.
Are you ever like? Do you still always have that chip on your shoulder? Like, well, you know, does it always drive you?
You do for sure. I think at that point it just becomes part of your DNA or whatever. But yeah, it definitely wasn't the easiest road for me, and some guys have it easier than others. But I think when I first came to the league, there was only maybe three defensemen under 5'10".
Really?
And really?
Yeah.
How many honestly, now?
I really think there was. There's got to be like one.
How big are their arms, though?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, seriously, though, because like...
No, he's like 5'10".
Dude, Brian Rafalski. Like, you can't get around.
He's got like...
Yeah.
Oh, he's got like George LaRocque arms, but he's 5'10".
You're stocky. It doesn't matter. How many guys do we get on? Dougie Gilmore, to all these guys are like, well, they didn't draft me because they my size. And you're like, well, God, it's just incredible. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. If you're strong, you're strong.
Mm-hmm.
God.
What's your workout routine?
More than yours.
Are you doing arms every day or what?
No, you just got big arms, Andy.
Is that really what it is?
He does. You do curls. Who are you kidding?
Maybe a couple on Friday. That's about it, though.
Okay, so as a young kid, like, you played on all the best teams. Like, you were like... always a really good player, right? I mean, you went to Pee Wee Quebec. You played for Honey Bay.
Honey
Bay
Cam, baby. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I remember you actually when you played for Belle Tire back in the day, because you would have played the Triple A Blues like a lot, I would imagine. Yeah. Like, same league and everything. Yeah. So, like, were you a guy that, like, expected to go far? Like, what was your thought process?
No, I mean, if you ask all the guys I played with and you told them this is how it played out with Tory Krug, I think they'd laugh in your face. I mean, I was a little bit smaller, slower. My dad was a coach, so there was part of that that played into it.
First like, power play.
What does that mean, though? Was your dad like, okay, Tory, come here. You're going to be on first power play. Here you go. And now the guy's like, what? I'm dominating.
Everybody off us up, Tory.
Everybody off. Tory, go out there. Right, who gets the first power
or, exactly.
Penalty shot. Parents, well, Tory's up.
Parents are calling your dad. Your dad's got to step out of the house.
Was your dad like that, calling. Though? Or was he like hard on you? Like, no.
My dad would sit me once a game. Probably.
There you go.
Yeah. Really?
Okay. Yeah, he's coached, I think, over 25 NHLers. Mm-hmm. So he knows the game very well.
Who did he have? He have like Kessler and those guys? Like,
yeah, he's coached some of those guys, and he coached like the Detroit Compuware team back in the day. Not Patty Kane. No.
Like, what back in the day with Compuware guys, like James Wisniewski and those guys I played against?
No, like 90s, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm old, Andy. Jesus Christ.
But
just say yes, will you, Tory?
So, like, what's his background? Was he a big player back in the day?
No, just he was coaching with Andy Weidenbach and a bunch of other guys, and just turned out to be a great youth hockey coach in the Detroit area, and he rocked it out. So,
is your brother still coaching? Because he was coaching with Brownie in the USHL with the Indiana Ice.
Oh, really?
A few years back when they won the Clark Cup.
Yeah, and he coaches Adrian College right now, Division III school in Michigan. Got to give them some shout outs. So.
Adrian College. Yeah. Doesn't your brother play volleyball there?
My younger brother.
Listen,
did.
I got all the information. He's got all the scoops. Dude. How about that?
He plays volleyball.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
Oh, you don't play?
Not anymore. No, and then my other brother was a tougher defenseman. I played for the Muskegon Lumberjacks in the IHL and bounced around quite a bit. So
How many brothers you got? Three.
Yeah, three brothers.
He coached everybody, your dad?
He coached us, all of us.
Wow.
Yeah. You guys all hang out together?
Well, I haven't been around, obviously, as much as I'd like to, but...
Because of COVID.
Yeah, because of COVID.
That's what I got to say. But if you... Okay, so this Christmas, you got your badass house... Doing your thing in St. Louis. Are you inviting all your brothers in?
They're always all
Okay.
Yeah. Like, but everyone's so
where
busy.
Where are they coming?
Like, everyone's
yeah,
busy.
Probably not. Like, my brother's got a... his team, Adrian College, plays an outdoor game, I think, like, on the 1st or the 2nd. So, like, he'll be busy during Christmas time. With
you
all
have an outdoor
college.
Game,
yeah, but
too.
You're the, like, the most important guy, though. Like, you got, like, right? Like, so if you're inviting everybody to come check out...
Like, Tori's inviting... Like, if the other brother invites everybody, they're like, I don't know.
It's like when you invited me to Halloween, I'm not going to it.
Oh, yeah. I invited Cannon. I'm having a Halloween party, you know?
I'm just not going. That's the way it is.
We're going to make it. Cam keeps talking about his Halloween, like, he bought all this stuff.
Man, I got my own shit.
So then I said I was having a Halloween party. He's like, I can't come. I have all this stuff I'm doing for Halloween. Halloween.
That's the way it goes.
So, all right.
But they shouldn't say that to you, but go ahead.
All right, so he's from Livonia, right?
Yeah, I'm from Livonia.
Okay,
yeah.
So we've had Mike Madonna on. Yep. We've had Ryan Kessler on. Yeah. I mean, is there anybody else?
I think that's about it.
Okay, so are those guys, like, do you know Mike?
I don't know him very well or very personal, but...
He's not a very good-looking guy.
So, like, that's what I heard.
Can't skate.
Yeah. Can't skate.
No,
yeah.
Your dad didn't coach him.
Who'd you like growing up, though? Like, okay, so you're a 91, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who, so mine, I was like, I'm an 84, Pavel mm-hmm. Bure, when I was like six, like Pavel Bure came to the scene yeah. and he fucking did. And you're like, oh my God, yeah. Who was your guy?
Red Wing, probably.
It was pretty easy for me with the Red Wings. Actually, so there's three guys. Datsuk was like the guy that I really loved. Like every time he touched a puck, I was excited. Which was
offensive,
pretty cool.
Offensive, defensive,
then,
whatever.
Right. And then I got to play against him and I think he blew my shoulder out. So that was pretty cool too.
Mm-hmm. And your ankle, probably.
Yeah. And my ankle.
Dude, Datsuk did that?
Yeah.
How did he blow your shoulder out? With like a 10 and 2?
Kind of like a reverse hit.
He did that, Andy. The reverse hits.
Yeah. He was sneaky with them.
The Oshie. Yeah. Oshie does that too.
Sorry to go beyond because it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Reverse hits for a guy that's small stature. Andy's got his kid playing hockey. We talk about it like the big hits you are going to get a penalty.
Right.
But if you got the damn puck and somebody wants to get you,
yeah.
you could stick them so damn hard. And
you look like you have no idea they're coming.
I don't see you, and they don't call it.
Right.
So do you advocate that? Do you like to do that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't do it as much anymore because, I don't know, I'm just trying to remain durable. But
spin off the cat 2 seconds.
But yeah, that got me one time. And to be honest, like one of the hardest hits I've ever taken was Jordan Tutu. And it was a reverse hit. And I remember I got hit and I was like, oh my gosh, he just broke my chest. Like this hurt so bad. So that was like another guy that always got me with that. And Zetterberg would get me with those two all the time. Like, yeah.
Those Oshie baby does it the best.
Tutu would just
fuck you up.
Truck guys and come from distance.
Right.
He messed up Carlo Koliakova one time.
Who hasn't? Who hasn't?
I mean, Carlo,
I actually didn't practice because he just gets in my goddamn way.
Hey, were you defense? Were you a defenseman as a kid or no?
No, I played forward quite a bit.
I would think so, yeah.
I did both. I moved back to D. You got to play more. You got to see the ice, and I like to see the ice and see the play develop. And
control it a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So
you went straight from midget hockey to the USHL or what?
Yeah, I was going to I was actually going to go to high school. I was kind of getting looked over. And
Cam didn't go to high school, so.
I did for 2 years.
Was it two?
It was a year and a half. And then I went to Windsor and did my thing.
So, well, a lot of kids from Michigan, though, they will go the OHL route, right? So did you have to make a decision there or what?
No, because when I got drafted in the OHL, it was like the 13th round, and I was like 5'3". So it wasn't really on the radar. I thought about going after my freshman year of college, but I just don't think it was the right move for me, actually. The Plymouth Whalers kind of helped me out there and told me just stay where I was at. I was doing a good job. So that kind of helped out, and that worked. But I thought
it's
about
a good
it,
organization, though, Plymouth, man.
Yeah, it was good.
They got a good rink and all that.
Who was with you at Michigan State?
Jeff Petrie was my D partner.
Oh, really?
Was, yeah, pretty good D partner.
It's not bad.
For your first year. Yeah, I played with him for 1 year.
Cam and Strick podcast here for our boy Dan Bellman with Bellman.com.
Yeah, baby.
You need some new wheels? Why not get a Cadillac, a Buick, a GMC? Yeah. Head out to Troy today. And again, don't forget about Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram right across the street.
No doubt.
Right there in Troy, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Visit them online. Check out their new selection, the pre-owned selection, the best service you will find anywhere in the country. Bellman.com. BehlmanN.com. Get yourself some new wheels in time for the summer.
Yeah.
Now back to the interview.
Who's the best D in the league? Give me your top
best
three.
Best D in the league?
Like overall, like you look at it and you're like, damn, these guys, damn, they do crazy stuff.
I don't know if that's a fair question.
It's loaded.
It's a loaded question.
Well, I just got a cameo. Cam, just got a cameo request as we speak.
See what he does? He's got three. Top three. Like, bad, hard to deal with.
Well, Makar is nuts right now. Oh, God. Just so shifty. I think McAvoy is right there. He's so close to being in that
great
top
guy.
Group. Yeah,
he's like the nicest kid. Oh, he loves
guy.
You.
Awesome. Yeah,
they're
twins.
He was very upset when you got moved. He wasn't over it when we had him on. He does.
Yeah. We trained together in the off season. We're very close. So
great kid.
We keep tabs on each other, and Yeah, so I think he's right up there too. His name will be in the mix for the next, you know, probably.
He's naming 10, the guys years. He likes. Have you noticed
yeah,
that?
Don't, yeah. I don't care about the guys you like. Name the guys you hate.
He's going to say Justin Falk next.
Who's somebody that no one talks about that's like, this guy Falker, is probably. Hard to deal with? Nobody on the Blues. Because like, then this is like, but legitimately.
Who's hard to deal with?
As a D-man in the league.
Like you're saying forwards or defensemen?
No, defensemen that doesn't get talked about a lot. That's like, this guy needs a shout out.
Yeah, I mean that's another.
That's what I do.
Yeah. I mean that is.
I mean we're interviewing him, Andy. And yeah. That, well, you should be proud of that. Yeah.
Well, you're twisting his brain in knots.
I know. Like,
I think that Heiskanen in Dallas is.
Yeah.
Is,
we talk about
he's damn
good.
He's smooth. He just goes 10 and 2 down the ice. Yep. Yeah.
Listen,
obviously,
all these young guys that are coming in, they kind of play like your style, really. I mean,
walk the line. But the difference, like those guys are so. Like, it's natural for them to skate up and down the ice. Like, yeah. I have to work. Like, it might look nice, but yeah. I have to work really hard.
It looks good,
these guys just float on top of the ice. I know, and it's like, it's crazy.
Your three strides are their one stride.
So what do you mean? Yeah. Explain to the listeners what you mean by that. Like, you have to work harder than those guys. Like, you're saying you're not like a naturally gifted skater, like
not
a guy like Makar and some of these guys who can just get from one end of the ice and like whatever. They're like Paul Coffey, but like half the size.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm not naturally gifted in that regard. Like I've had to work very hard on it. I was extremely slow. My freshman year in college, like I remember like hearing from teams that were thinking about drafting you or interviewing you. And they're like, yeah, but you know, he's a little slow. So I had to work on that and like constantly.
Well, you can't be small and slow.
Right.
It's like, you gotta be like,
and if you are, you better think the game really fast.
Exactly.
You gotta be smart. So,
but yeah, you worked on that. No, but you're shifty, man. Like you'll invite pressure, spin off of guys, they'll fall into the boards. Now you're a step ahead of them. You do it. But those guys take two strides and now the ice is opened up and they're like, what do I want to do? And they could toy with you with their reach.
Well, and look at how they are on the offensive blue line too. Like they can stop, pull, like toe drag, push it back out, and then they're gone. Like
nightmare.
I can't do that.
No, but you walk the line pretty well and like do stuff like that.
Say, you can
and hang on to it up top.
Yeah,
we see it.
No. Yeah, you can.
I appreciate it, guys. I feel good about that.
You can.
Wish I was playing a game right after.
Hey, well,
I feel good.
I mean, there's an ice rink over there.
Do you look forward to training camp? Is training camp like not fun, or is it like how do you view training camp?
I say every year about this time, I'm like, I wish I could fast forward to November 15th.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
what about October 16th?
Not October 15th?
I don't know. I just like getting
the
in the groove,
game.
like to be in the groove. And, it is what it is. It's part of the gig, but, training camps are tough. They're grueling and, you know, guys are battling for spots.
Are they that tough though? Can I explain this? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. They're not as tough as probably what you went through.
No, our training camps were not tough either. No. I'm talking about like fucking NFL training camps. Although they're kind of easy
than they used to be.
Yeah, but you're outside. But
they all move inside.
Okay, here's my point. Is it that tough when you go to training camp? Like the skates are hard, but you're used to that. But like the testing, the strength tests and stuff. Is that what you're talking about? That stuff, or just being back in the mix?
Well, it's twofold. Like the first one would be like the anxiety and stuff, the testing.
Okay.
Like no matter how good you are, whatever. Like guys still have anxiety. Like David Perron, like, led our team in scoring last year, and this year he's freaking it out about a skating test. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
he shouldn't be.
He probably is.
Well, he went out the other night pretty hard with that. but they haven't – hockey training camps are the preseason games.
Yeah,
but tough.
So I would say the other part of it, what I'm considering more, is, like, the physicality. So, like, when you're summer skating all summer long, you know, you're out there feeling good about yourself, toe drag, work on your shot. You're not – leaning on guys in the corner. You're not cross-checking anyone or in front of the net, like trying to box a guy out. So like there's all those little things that come into play. That's more energy expended and like your different muscles that you're not used to. So like that's the part of it. That's more of a grind.
Not like we're going to torture
you.
No,
like the skating part of it, like you do it all summer long.
Why'd you choose Boston coming out of college? Like were they the only team or did you have options there?
No, I had some good options.
Who else was interested?
It came down to Boston and Chicago, so those were my final two. And,
shitty city.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah,
terrible city.
Yeah. Boston was just kind of in the mix the whole time, and when they won the Stanley Cup, they had zero power play. So being a guy that ran the power play, I thought, you know what, there's no one like this in the organization that plays like me and kind of can do some of the things like me. And I just wanted to learn from, you know, some of the legends that they had over there in the locker room. So it was a fun team to be a part of.
All right. For a player like you, was the adjustment more difficult going from junior to college or college to the NHL?
I think so. Like a lot of guys can play in the NHL. It's like sticking in the NHL is tough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people can play one or two games, but yeah. It's like if you got to play 10, yeah, 20.
Can you stay?
Yeah. Like that's the hard part. Going into the AHL was really hard for me. Like I was awful.
Oh, to the American League.
Yeah. Really? I was tough in the American League. I was awful for about 2 months in the American League.
Scrambly ass shit. Yeah.
Your first pro game was in the NHL, though, right?
Right. I played two games in Boston. Then the lockout happened. And
12, 13.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then I played in the minors that year, and I was awful till about Christmas.
Really?
And that's, to be honest, I think, truth be told, I got better after that because all the good players went up and played in the NHL.
Yeah.
So then it was like, all right.
But once the NHL season started.
Oh, that league is...
It's hard.
Oh, gosh. It's so hard.
Everybody hits you.
Okay, explain why. Why it's so hard.
It's controlled chaos.
It's exactly. It's scrambly. You don't... Like, the teams are trying to mimic what they do up top. Sometimes they're not. Mm-hmm. Everybody's confused. Everybody's individualistic, mm-hmm. meaning, like, I want to make the team. So everybody's hitting.
Right.
It's uncontrolled. As a defenseman, you got... Heavy's coming down on you crazy. I mean, shit. It's chaos.
And you don't know other guys. Like, there's a scouting report on everyone in the NHL. Mm-hmm. The AHL, like, you're playing Binghamton, like, some team that I haven't played, and I don't even know who their prospects are. Like, who's this guy on the third line, a vet that's, like, 6'4", 220 pounds, trying to put me through the boards? Like, I don't know these guys.
Yeah. I know.
And they have, like, five guys who are probably 6'4", 220
pounds. They do, yes. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, so that league. That was the hardest jump, was college to the AHL.
All right, who was the first player in Boston who, like, took you under his wing and, like, kind of helped groom you to become the player you are today?
There's like, not enough. I can give credit to everyone.
Yeah.
Marshy was, like, the one guy that, like, made it easy for me to walk in the locker room and be part of that.
Why is that?
Yeah.
It was just like, he's always in the middle of, he's happy. He's always in the middle of the mix. So like he can bring you into a social setting and like, you don't feel awkward.
Are his arms bigger than yours?
No, Marshall. No, I'll answer that. And you know what? It's nice to be able to talk to a guy that's a popular guy.
Yeah.
And if he coexists with you, you feel like you're part of everything too. Yeah.
And when I first started, that team was a lot older. I mean, Lucic was another guy that was awesome. Yeah. Like I'd go over to his house every Sunday and watch football and hang out with him. McQuaid was my D partner. He's like the nicest person in the world. He's tough as nails.
He's working for them right now too.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Did he have to retire because of concussions or something? What? He retired a little bit early, didn't he?
He did. He retired a little early.
He's gonna be soon.
How old is he?
He's probably 33 right now.
Oh, is he? Okay.
So he had some injuries.
He was a good player, man. Yeah. Physical. He would fight too.
That guy's stupid. Yeah.
But I thought the Blues were interested in him at one point in time, like years ago. But he was always kind of one of those players that were like rumored all the time. But Lucic as a guy, as a teammate, like is he one of the guys like, everybody just likes Lucic or what? Like
he's awesome. I mean, dude, it was crazy watching him play some of those games, like my rookie year when he would do it all.
Crushing everybody.
Oh, guys were terrible. Like, honestly, our team was insane, like how tough we were. It was crazy.
Shawnee Thornton, too.
Yeah. Sean Thornton, Andrew Ferentz, Gregory Campbell, Nathan Horton, Chara. We had Iggy 1 year.
Yep.
List goes on and on.
But Lucic, though, the fans, those tough boys, Boston, good old boys up there, man. They watch him. They loved him when he was, God, was he like the guy?
Oh, yeah. And one of the cool things, too, was like when the puck was dumped in and Luch was like getting the feet going, all of a sudden you could hear the crowd just go,
anticipated.
Yeah, the anticipation was crazy. So, yeah, he was, and he's still like a fan favorite there. Like I actually, so going back to the house thing, I bought my house that I just sold in Boston, not from him directly, but that was his house. And I would spend every Sunday there. So when we went to look at it, I was like, oh, I love this place.
Yeah.
I'm sold, like no questions asked. So we would hang out all the time. But when we walked through the North End, which is the Italian neighborhood in Boston, literally everyone just like, Luch, like he's not even playing for them anymore.
Oh,
and he's like, high five everyone.
There,
like, like, he was legit a Bostonian. Like,
Oh yeah, and he talked about that with us too when we had Luch on. Yeah. Like he speaks so highly of Boston. When you're an athlete in a town like that, are you seeing like Tom Brady at events? Are you seeing like the Celtics, Patriots, Bruins? Does everybody interact or no?
Yeah, everyone does. Maybe not so much, but everyone else does.
Gronk,
for sure.
You know Gronk.
Gronk is the man. Yeah, he's awesome.
He's everywhere.
There's a really good camaraderie between all the sports fans. Like. Or all the teams, like when when I was there, there was someone in the finals every single season.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, so we would all go and support each other, go to the playoff games. Those are always a blast. So, yeah, we got to know, you know, Red Sox, not the Celtics too much, or a couple guys that would hang out, but...
Celtics players, that we said?
Yeah, no Celtics.
No, they're like, Kelly Olynyk would come around. Yeah, say, he's a Canadian guy.
Jason Tatum's a cool kid.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, Jason Tatum's great.
And he's buddies with him, yeah. Sure. Was Conor McGregor, did Conor McGregor go to your... Were you...
He did, yeah. So I went... I was going to a UFC, and apparently it was his first... I didn't know this at the time, but looking back, I'm like, holy smokes, that's exactly what happened. It was his first UFC fight over in the U.S., and he brought everyone, like, from Ireland and stuff, and... The year we went to the finals and lost to you guys, St. Louis.
Yeah. Me and Andy and
I. Yeah, exactly. You too.
lost to you guys.
Yeah. He points at
you guys. Yeah.
He did. Yeah. I had a hell of a series.
A lot of good speeches.
He couldn't even get on the ice afterwards.
Embarrassing. Anyway, Conor McGregor, he comes at first. That's his, what year was that? 19? That's his first.
No, that was, I'm talking like years back. Oh, okay. This is like 2013, 2014. Okay.
When he first came to the scene.
2014, yeah. So then he comes to a game in Boston, and it was wild. Like, we watched the game with him in the press box and or in a suite, and then he came down afterwards, and he's got his whiskey everywhere. And it turned out that he was just like, fell in love with hockey that night and, like, loved to be with the boy. He's begging guys to fight the whole game. Yeah, but a couple of our tougher guys, like, weren't playing. Oh, yeah, his speech was crazy.
You got to get him. Yeah. Take him.
Wait, that was his speech? He gave his speech before the game?
Yeah.
So funny.
To be honest, I don't even remember. It was all a blur. But
why weren't you playing that game?
I was hurt. Yeah, I was hurt.
But then Marchand won in OT, and he did that backhand stride.
Oh, he did. Oh, was that with Connor there at the building?
Yeah, he was in the building.
Oh, really?
It's actually the baddest ass thing.
Yeah, that's a great celebration. Yeah.
He was awesome. I remember that. He came in with like two huge carts of his whiskey, signed a bottle for everyone, and it was it was great.
I know. A lot of people had pictures taken with him and stuff like that. I saw.
Freddie
had a picture taken.
He gave him one of these.
Love him, by the way.
Oh, he's the best.
Love him, by the way. St. Louis,
Of course.
St. Louis boys are cool.
Have you ever talked to a guy like Justin Faulk about, like, the transition playing with a new team first year and then how the second year it's just like, is it different? Like, are you anticipating the game to be different this year, being in your second year versus your first year with your new team?
Yeah, I do. I mean, for sure. I didn't specifically ask him that question. Yeah. He's a pretty laid back guy, but
fucking nerdy. God,
hey, I want to talk to you this summer.
Justin, can I ask you a question, Justin? What's the deal? Oh, Jesus,
what's it like in your second year versus your first?
Lord.
Year? All right. Well, you know what I was asking.
Yeah, I mean, there's no secret that the chemistry stuff takes off for sure. I think we found something pretty good playing together, so that'll help. And then I think the guys just understand what type of plays you like to look for. The power play was definitely clicking at the right time at the end of the season. So we'll see. I mean, I'm very hopeful that it's another step forward, much like he had one last year. So that'd be great.
Hey, when you went to... And this feels like goddamn 5 years ago. You played Colorado last year, right? I mean, you kind of forget about it.
Yeah, Cam, it was Colorado.
Well, it feels like there's so much shit that goes down. Like, was that like when you went in against them and Nathan McKinnon's doing his thing, were you guys like, okay, we got some work to do? Like, explain that series and how Colorado was. I know the Blues fans want to know. It is what it is. Stupid question, but Andy's had some
stupid
questions. Andy, you've had stupid... Hey, I'm just wondering.
Can we edit that out?
No. I want to know. Were you guys like, these motherfuckers are on a different level?
Well, they were, and it was tough. I mean, especially we were losing, you know, we lost one of our best players. You know, Perron wasn't able to play that series. But,
So that was another jump over, too.
But it was, I mean, definitely they're full of some star power, and you're trying to figure out different ways to slow them down. And within a series, as you guys know, like, anything can happen. So we weren't good enough, that's for sure.
Car walking the line too. They just had to
put McKinnon. Is he like on a different level than ever? Like defending him versus McDavid. I know you see McDavid like whatever.
I haven't seen him in a while. And
right?
When he would once jump on the ice, I would jump off the ice. So I don't know. But I got to see McKinnon a lot. Yeah. And he just does things at such a high speed and so powerful. Like, there's just, if you try to defend his speed, he'll overpower you or he'll cut back, and all of a sudden he's hitting Landeskog come through. So, yeah, I mean, they're a great team, and he's a tough guy to stop, that's for sure.
What do you do in your free time?
Yeah, what do you spend your money on, dude? Like,
besides, well, I mean,
besides your house in Charleston. Yeah.
No, my I just had a little one. She's 8 weeks old now, so I got a 2-year-old and 8-week-old, and chasing them around, and yeah, that's about it.
So, what do you want them to do? Are you like
golf?
You guys gonna,
golf, right? Golf and tennis.
Are you a golfer? Yeah.
I try to be. Yeah, an impression of it.
He's a golfer, Andy. Look at him. He's a golfer. So when he says I try to be, that means he's 30 billion times better than both of us. That's what it is. All. And I'm on a course every day. I golf all the time. I could already tell that you got your swing, dude. I think I saw something on the Blues when they had their tournament. And they
How'd you do in the golf tournament last week?
Oh, I wasn't in it last week.
Oh, you weren't there.
Okay, then I saw it.
So you saw someone else.
It's like, again.
Yeah.
Again.
You can golf, though. You golf, though. I could tell.
I try.
How often you golf?
I didn't golf much this summer, but I like to go, you know, 2 or 3 times every week or two. Mm-hmm. So,
who's the player in the Blues who you didn't know much about, and you're like, damn, this guy's pretty damn good.
Yeah, to be honest, it's Perron.
Yeah,
man, I hate that guy. Ooh.
Oh, he's a dick on the ice, isn't he?
Honestly, like after I signed, someone was like, hey, you know, Perron's asking for his number. Can I give it to him? I was like, you know what, let's just wait a couple weeks.
Really?
I said that, but then obviously I texted him, reached out. But, I mean, he was just a guy that I didn't understand how good he was until you see it up close. And obviously, I battled him like crazy in the corners and during that finals. Like, that was my matchup. So, I never liked him. And coming here, I just never understood how good he was. Like, that guy hounds the puck like crazy.
He protects it as well
protects
as anybody.
Like crazy.
10 and 2.
He's got a heavy stick.
Out.
Yeah, his stick is insanely heavy. Like, and he cares so much. And from the outside looking in, like, I just didn't see that. But now I just can't believe, like, how good his wrister is. Like, his impact on a game. He can change a game pretty easily. Yeah.
No, he gets better by the year.
Yeah. He'll whack you. He'll elbow you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He'll party. Great guy.
Yeah. He's an awesome guy. Funny.
Anybody else?
I mean, the list goes on. Like, we have a great group of guys in there.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
O'Reilly. I think you knew it, like, from the outside. Like, you knew it.
Yeah.
But then when you see it up close, you're like, oh, he does literally everything well. I mean, and that's, like, I say it all the time. Like, he reminds me of Bergeron. Like, I got to see that up close, you know, for a number of years.
Does he really?
Almost too perfect to where you don't like him because he's a perfect human being. Like, don't you want him to go bald a little bit just to be like, even it out a little bit? Yeah.
But they just both do things where you're like, all right, like, he has no business, like, knocking down that pass, but he's in the right place. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't even mean to, but he's in the right place at the right time because they think the game so well. So, yeah, he reminds me of him. And, I mean,
what makes Bergeron so great? I mean, it's like, for the average fan, I think when they watch him play, like, he's not that flashy. I mean, there are times when he is, but he just does everything, like you said, the right way, right? I mean, that's kind of how you describe him.
Yeah, both of them play on the right side of the puck all day long. So, like, there's nothing easy that you're going to get from either of them. And that's what I think people appreciate when you see it night in, night out. Like, he doesn't just give up things easily. He's always on the right side of the puck, whether it's in the slot or on a face-off, like, they're bastards in the face-off circle.
So if he goes on a forecheck with you, you're like, sometimes I used to, this happened to me all the time, where you invite me in one area, and you're like, come here, Cam.
Yeah,
hi,
exactly.
I'm a shiny object. And then you spin off, I'm stuck down there. Yeah. You take 2 steps, you kick it wide, you're gone. He doesn't play that
game. Yeah, you're not spinning off him.
Yeah. No.
Do you stay on the ice with him after practice and work on your skills?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, a little bit. Not quite as long as him, man.
And Perron stays out there, too, with him.
They stay on the ice a long time.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
No. Never seen anything like that.
That's
them staying on that long?
You guys feel like they have to do it?
Well, they might need it. If that's that the case, like, they're just staying on too long.
Well, I just
he stays out there a long time.
When you see it's working for him, it's like, well, maybe I should try this too. Like,
I don't think he does it, though. You can tell me if I'm wrong. Where he doesn't, like, expect everybody. He would do it if nobody was staying out there, right?
You're right. Yeah, for sure. But at the same time, like, this is more in-game. Like, that guy drags guys into the battle. Like, he's like, hey, if you guys aren't going to do it, like, I'm going to step up here and you guys are coming with me. Like, dragging your teammates into the battle is, like, a big part of being a good leader, and I think he does a great job of that.
Yeah, like, if even the young guys, man, if Perry stay on the ice, like, the young guy's like, I'm going to, Perry's on. Like, you know, I'll do one tease with him.
Yeah,
I'll do
exactly.
one tease with him.
Exactly.
You know? How do you like that practice facility? Pretty cool,
eh? Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's great.
You see my picture on the wall at all?
Yeah.
It's the big, handsome guy. It's the big, handsome guy on the right.
It's not up there.
Portrait of me. It's quite lovely. Just take a look at it. It's all good.
Do you have a boat?
I don't.
No. That's my question.
Well, you don't ask. You know, I'm waiting for this. The interview is winding down.
Do we need to talk about this? Like, is that the next thing? Is that the
kids? It might be down the road. Yeah,
because the kids are like, "Daddy, I want to go on a boat. I want you to drive."
Charleston,
like,
you need a boat, don't you? Need a boat in Charleston?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
You need a boat, and you need a center console. And just let me know if
I like
you,
the center consoles.
Yeah, dude, they're badass. Yeah. The kids are like, yeah, well, "Daddy,
we'll see."
Daddy, take me out. Daddy, take me out.
Does your wife like it here in St. Louis?
She does, yeah. Yeah, it's very easy, you know, to get around. Like, before, there would be times in Boston, you're just like, oh, it's we got to do something. It's 2:30. Yeah, we're not leaving for another 3 hours until rush hour's over. Like, here, it's like, you know, you can do anything or get anything you want or need within 5 to 15 minutes. So it's just a lot easier, especially with kids. Just makes everything easier for
us. I get you. Yeah. Come live out by me. It makes it a little bit more difficult. No. I don't mind it. I love it. I love it.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, you do.
No,
yeah,
you don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. Far. That's why I'm not going to your Halloween fucking party.
We'll see about that. House. Well, listen, man, thanks for coming in. You're the best. This.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Have a great year, will you?
Hey, grow your hair out, too, by the way. Can I look at
it? It was pretty long.
Yeah, it's long up top.
It's long.
Is it good? Grow that mug out. It looks good. Get the tats going. Keep doing the bicep curls. I'm just saying.
You're looking at me when you're saying that.
I'm looking at you like you need to do something.
Well, thanks for having me in the beautiful office here.
Oh, it's my great. God. It's great. Hey,
you keep working hard. You keep working hard. You'll
get
son.
One of these, too.
You'll be able to get one of these, too. Kruger, you're the best, dude. Yeah, thanks, appreciate
guys.
It,
appreciate
man.
It, thanks, yeah. Thank you very much.
Hey, what's up, everybody? That interview was brought to you by Daredevil Hockey and daredevilhockey.com. Use that promo code today, Cam and Strick. It's going to save you 25%. All caps, Cam and Strick, Daredevil Hockey. Get yourself protected today.
All right, that was Tori Krug with us here on the Cam and Strick podcast, man. Again, presented by Hair Club. And we thank Tori for coming by and sitting down with us and doing that interview, man. Honestly, cool-ass dude, super talented. He's a winner. He's been to the Stanley Cup Final before. Cam, it can't be easy to play for a team that just beat you in the Stanley Cup Final, right? That's got to be a little bit weird, a little bit odd. There's, like, pictures.
When they're paying you $7 million bucks, you don't give a fuck, dude. It just doesn't matter.
That's true. Like, whatever.
Come on. Playing a badass town like St. Louis, everybody loves you, dude. They treat you like gold everywhere. If you work your ass off in this town, I'm just telling you this right now, they will love you forever. And you're nice to people. This fucking city, these fans, everywhere you go. Dude, I'm in fucking middle of Missouri. People coming up to me, Andy, because they know you busted your ass for them and you're nice. They'll love you and take care of you forever, man. Let's go do it, baby.
And he's a guy who... he's overcome a lot of adversity too, man. He wasn't drafted, like had to really prove himself. At every level. I mean, just to get to junior and then get to Michigan State and then sign a pro contract. I mean, and to come in with that team in Boston, surrounded by all those future Hall of Famers and fit in, and not just fit in, but become a core player and an important player. I remember watching this guy during the Stanley Cup Final a few years ago. I'm like, damn, this guy is damn good.
Yeah, he rocked Robbie Thomas.
I know.
That was great. He was getting roughed up by Perry, and then he goes down and just gets Perron, I should say, and he goes down and just rocks Robert Thomas. Our Robbie got back up, man. I said, what's up, baby? And he goes down and had a good game. So, look, Tory Krug's a good player. He's got to be better this year. He's got to get paid a lot of money, and they need him to be good because this is a big year for this organization. So Kruger knows that. He came on live with us. He needed to get the word out, baby, and he did. And we love him for it.
Yeah, they need him to be. There's no question about that. So, and I think he will be too, man. So, he was still a plus player last year. He was like plus 11. Didn't score a lot of goals and stuff like that, but that'll get better, man. He's gonna have a good year. I feel it. I feel it for Tory Krug. So, again, we thank him for joining us on this edition of the Cam and Strick podcast. Cam, what's on tap for you for the rest of the week? Do you have anything exciting to share with us?
I believe I'm shooting a commercial. Well, I turned into a cowboy. I'm part of the 562 Pipe Fitters Union. I did a Stone Cold Steve Austin walk up, gave a speech. So I'm part of that, which is really cool. So I'm a shit kicking son of a bitch now, dude. I used to be a pussy. Then I was tough. And then pussy. Now I'm like a cowboy and stuff. So it's cool. Mm-hmm. And I do a commercial for the organization you work for, Bally's, I believe, coming up here in a couple of days.
Well, what are you going to do for that? Like,
I don't know. Be on the ice and I don't know. Do something, whatever they want me to do. I just got to look handsome.
Well, you know what? If they show your bald spot, you just, you know, Hair Club is a good spot to turn to.
That's exactly what it is. There you go. All you got to do is call them up, and you just get you walk in there. What they look at your hair, so you just walk in there and like, oh, let me just see what's going on. They put this thing on your head, and you're like, oh, and it's just like, well, we're gonna do this and da 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 da. Well, we have this for you too, and well, what do you think? You know, and then they just explain everything. It's so damn simple, and there's so many different options. And again, the hardest part is just to walk through the building, just to call them up and like walk through, and you're like, oh god, I'm gonna be embarrassed. No, you're not. Everybody, they help you. They all, we're all in it together, man. If you're losing your hair, we all are in, like, we're all a team. We all need to help each other because we know how horrible it is to look at yourself in the mirror and see your fucking hair fall out, Andy. Remember in like 2015, I told you when I was going through all that shit and I was in the American League and I'm like, ugh. And I'm looking at myself and I was so stressed out getting drug tested at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, God, what the fuck am I doing? And I'm looking at my hair and it's falling out. I'm like, oh God, it was fucking horrible. It was horrible. And I know, guys, and I'm a confident dude, but you guys, man, I'm telling you, like, it's that you. There's options for you, and Hair Club's got them.
Yeah, they have over 700 options for you. Actually, they got a solution for everybody. You can walk into that place and get your hair done. They cut your hair. They do everything. And again, over 1,200 locations throughout North America. So no matter where you are, just open the window. Hair Club can hear you, and you should get into one of their facilities today and get a consultation and see what they can do for you and really change your life, man. Make you more confident. Like the kid across the street who's very confident.
Enough of that fucking kid already. Jeez Louise.
Very confident.
Getting weird. With
the Cam and Strick Podcast.
Why don't you go hang out with him?
Also brought to you by CarShield. 800-857-2481. 800-857-2481. CarShield.com. Use that promo code Cam. You're going to save 10%. You never know when something bad is going to happen. Something's going to go down in your car, whatever. Be protected. Have that peace of mind with CarShield. You only get that peace of mind through a few people in your life, really, who make you feel good about yourself. CarShield is certainly one of them. And they fall in that category, man. We love our friends over at CarShield. Again, CarShield, CarShield.com, 800-857-2481. Pick your mechanic. Choose where you want your car serviced. They hook you up with a rental car. Honestly, it's too good to be true, and that's what you get from our friends over there at CarShield. All right, Behlmann.com, Behlmann.com. Out there in Troy, Missouri, great people. Easy to get to. They want to buy your used car, and they want to buy it now, and they want to buy it today. So if you're ready to move on from your car, don't worry about your credit. Everyone qualifies, guaranteed, no matter what your credit is. They're going to get you in a set of new wheels or one of the beautiful pre-owned cars. Behlmann.com, Behlmann Automotive, Dale, our friend Danny Boy, and of course Kenny, man, everybody over there treating you the way you should be treated. You can send your wife in there by herself, whatever, and know that they're taken care of the right way, Cam. That's very important. We all know that.
I know.
Yeah, I'm very important.
Hey, she can go do things herself, you know?
Yes, yeah.
I don't have to go with her and be a protector.
Yeah. All right, mybookie.ag. Again, use that promo code CamStrick. Cam Strick, all caps, no and, just Cam Strick. Bet with us, man. Double your money. You deposit, what, $500, you get $1,000. $1,000, you get $2,000. Up to $1,000, they will double your money. Get in with the betting and do it today. Bet with us all season long, man. We're having fun with these NHL games. You can do prop bets. You can do the over, the under, all that type of stuff. NFL games, college football games, Major League Baseball playoffs, everything. You can bet with mybookie.ag. We love having mybookie on the team with us. Again, use that promo code CAMSTRICK, and they will hook you up. mybookie.ag. Our boys over there are Local Legend. Again, that Instagram account, at Be A Local Legend. You're a local legend. Be a local legend with our friends over there at Local Legend. Again, their website, www.bealocallegend.com. My custom sports chairs. Cam, I'm going to bring you over your chair. I got a couple of them for you. I want people to hook that up. Get that Cam and Strick podcast chair. These things are sick. They're durable. They last through any weather condition, whether it's snow, whether it's rain. 100% Canadian made. What do you think that means, Cam, when it's Canadian made?
It's going to last forever, baby. We love you, Canadians. Hardworking sons of bitches up there, baby.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, they are.
Any sport you want, customize it with that name and number on the back. People walk over to your house in your backyard and be like, damn, where'd you get that chair? Like, instantly, it's one of those things that creates conversation. It's like a conversation starter over there with
you can have your little buddy over sit next to you. You can have your little buddy over to sit next to you. And
he's in Boston, dude. He's at Harvard. I've only met him a couple of times. Like, one, he was like chopping down wood and stuff like that. Hooked me up with a bunch of wood for my backyard and stuff. You know, he does everything.
Oh, he's chopping wood for you too.
Well, with a chainsaw.
This guy, he should be, I don't know, doing your taxes or something. I don't know.
His dad's out. His dad like has him like doing like, okay, lots of weird stuff.
I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck.
Constantly,
I don't give a fuck about this stupid fucking kid. Quit talking about him.
Cam, he was also a state golf champion, I think. He does everything.
Okay, is he or not? Get the fuck out of here.
No, he is.
I hate the kid.
No,
I fucking hate him.
State golf champion.
I hate him. He's probably got sick hair. He's probably cocky as fuck. No wonder you guys like each other. I'm done with this stupid ass kid. I don't like him. He's too smart.
Well, I just met him. He's 100% on the ACTs. Okay. Very, very smart. And if you're listening out of Toronto, tell Kyle Dubas you need to hire this guy right now. And listen, you won't have suffer the embarrassment of not being able to dress a full squad in the National Hockey League and then have my media being like, this is unfair to Toronto. Oh, no. I'm talking about all the teams, not just Toronto. Oh, all the teams.
Carlo's going to get you, boy. Oh, I can't wait.
We love you, Carlo.
We love you.
Daredevil Hockey, baby. Use that promo code Cam and Strick. It's going to save you a ton of money. Again, have that protection. Have that peace of mind knowing that your son or daughter isn't going to get cut by a skate. Prevents skate lacerations. Got that Kevlar fabric, you know, to prevent that from happening. It's comfortable. My son wears it, man, every time he's on the ice, man. So you should hook your kids up with that as well. All right, this has been episode number 156. Tory Krug. Check out www.camandstrick.com. If you missed any previous episodes, you can catch up on everything there. Find the links to everywhere you can listen to the podcast. Support all our sponsors, man. We appreciate all our sponsors for hooking us up and certainly being part of our team. We love supporting them. And certainly appreciate and value the support they give us as well. All right, for Cam Jansen, I'm Andy Strickland. For Brody, for everybody affiliated with the Cam and Strick podcast, thank you, as always, for all of the support. See ya.